Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comics Podcast number 233. I gotta throw it to Dave now.
I have a 233, issue 233 of Daredevil.
There was Colin Born Again storyline.
It's not a first appearance, but it is a milestone issue.
Wasn't that Born Again?
I don't know if it was or not.
Okay.
Well,
I don't know.
It was Frank Miller's final issue.
Oh, okay, yeah, that was the last part of the Born Again storyline, yeah.
Okay.
Credibility was challenged there. Yes. Man!
You get it.
Had all kinds of challenges today.
I have. It's been a day. No, it's been a good day, but I made a comment and then, yeah. Kind of went from there, so it's been a fun. I'm repeating that. It was an innocent comment that was taken wrong by Josh, and then
no, Tim said something first.
Did he? Tim?
Yeah. It was kind of everybody in the show thought it at the same time. Okay.
If you're gonna start something, finish it off properly. Like a story you're telling.
Yeah.
And again, I wonder why I do.
Good work.
But I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics.
Right now.
Joining me tonight are
Josh,
Dave,
Pat,
Adam.
Okay, everybody's back in their appropriate seats. We do very much appreciate James coming in and filling in for Adam last week. That was fun. He got to see how the sausage was made. So
he knew all the inside jokes.
Yeah, which was good. Which was good. Yeah, he fit right in. He knew what was going on. Sadly, he's listened too many Watch That, so it doesn't typically fall. No, just the...
That?
That, yeah.
Well, you just point. You were specific.
Off to a great start.
Yeah, it's a banner day. So, Pat, do you have any news?
Sure, why not? The Powers show... was dropped by PlayStation Network.
I only ever I watched the yeah they're not or not re, it's not
it's
coming
not
back.
Being renewed, but yeah,
how does Bendis feel
about this? Well, he's the first one that I saw tweeted. I'm sure he was not happy about it.
Did anyone ever see that show?
No. I saw the first episode. You were missing a page. Look under your chair.
No, he's got more time to write more events for Marvel.
To write more talking. Yeah, I only ever watched the first show. It was not good, and it may have gotten better after that, but unfortunately, after the first episode, you had to pay for it. I don't know how much it was.
I saw some of the first episode online or something. It looked really low budget.
It was very low budget. Yeah, there was one thing where this one person got decapitated, and it was like, okay, here, put this mask on and then walk around still, you know.
And you can see, like, where the shoulders are. And then
well, it was like, a green mask. And, you know, it was...
Okay.
The characters didn't look like the characters from the book. Like, if you ever read the book, the main character is huge. Just this... Now, granted, you're not going to get somebody big like that for the show, but the guy they picked was, like, a little scrawny guy. So it just totally... That didn't work at all.
Charlito Copley.
Yeah. Oh, I don't want to say little scrawny guy, but compared to the guy in the book.
Oh, I like him, though.
I do, too.
Yeah, but it just...
District 9 was really good.
But
I actually liked him quite a bit as Murdoch.
Yeah. But again, not when you think...
I love that movie.
I love it. I don't know why people give it hate, but... I thought it was really well done. If it was true to the
when they were developing that show for HBO or something, they had Jason Patrick as the main character who goes back to Wayward Pines, who was in the second season of Wayward Pines. Here,
haven't finished one yet. I'm still in the Matt Damon years.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Matt Damon is born.
Oh, I'm sorry, not Matt. Yeah. Dylan.
Matt
I'm
Dylan.
Sorry. Sorry.
It's okay.
You got it's happens.
I'm not hating on you.
It's like getting Bill Pullman and Bill Paxton confused.
Yeah. It can happen.
Yeah,
life will move on.
Thank you, Dick York or Dick Sargent. No. You know, you don't know which one.
Sergeant York.
Yeah. Bunch of dicks.
Josh is in rare form tonight.
They're both. Their first names.
What else you got there, Pat?
DC is apparently releasing a hard cover version of Watchmen, you know, an individual.
I saw that on Bleeding Cool. I'm like, yeah, it was in the last previews. Why is this such a shock? And the,
was it?
And the, then they also said, and they're also doing it with Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, that was two previews ago. Do you not look at the previews? They were in there. It wasn't hidden. It wasn't a secret.
The thing was, here's what happened,
in the DC email today, we finally saw what the box is going to look like. And that got forwarded by, I'm assuming,
somebody,
and that's the image they posted it. Which, actually, here's the funny thing, and it was funny, one of the commenters, who was also a store owner, said, you know, they're mocking it, going, oh, you know, what are they thinking? And I'm going, I think I need that. And someone else said, yeah, I really can't mock that, because that'll be on my shelf. You know, so,
yeah.
It looks damn fine. So, yeah, I mean, is it a money grab? Yeah, sure, but they're having great success with the Dark Knight Returns one.
Mm-hmm.
The Master Race one. So, I mean, I'm selling 38 copies of the hardcover in addition to
a gorgeous collection. Whatever it's all.
In addition to the 100 copies of the main book. So, hey, I'm calling that one a win.
Huh.
No two ways about it. So, yeah, but it was just funny that they...
You're selling 138 copies of... Wow.
Well, 100 $5.99 copies and 38 $12.99 copies. So, yeah.
Wow.
No, it's far exceeding my expectations.
So what, Moon Girl was doing like 200?
Moon Girl, when it came in last week, I got in 3.
Oh, the other 190 were damaged? That sucks. Man, Diamond. Jeez. Come on, guys. Put some packing materials in there.
Yeah.
They are. That's what the Moon Girl was.
I don't know if I should talk about this now. Well, yeah. I mean, it's
not... You tweeted to them.
What?
You talking about the Diamond thing?
No. I read this week's Iron Man, and it had Riri Williams in it, and I really hadn't read anything with her in it. I read this because it was the Civil War tie-in, and Iron Man's kind of important. I wanted to see what was going on. And I really like her. She's a really neat character. I don't totally see the purpose, but... So now she's a brilliant 15-year-old girl. And then we also have Moon Girl, who's now apparently the smartest girl in the Marvel Universe. Or
smartest person
in the Marvel Universe. And I'm like, okay.
What about
young girls, both under 16 years old, are now the two smartest people in the Marvel Universe. It's like, yeah, Reed Richards? Come on.
Well, he doesn't account anymore.
Apparently.
Because he's not in the universe.
But it's just it's just one of those... Why are we making this big swing? What about these traditional smart people? Why can't, you know, where's the, you know, high evolutionary? You know, it's just odd that all of a sudden everything's swinging.
There have to be. I mean, the thing about it is with Marvel, if Reed Richards was there, the next would have been either Pym.
Yeah.
Or even Doom would have been a smart character.
Yeah, so it's just odd that these new...
There's a lot of the list before you can add.
I just don't get why they're doing that. But no, I sell three. I can't say I sell three copies.
You get three
copies of Moon Girl. I sell one. Now, I did have a customer come in to get one for his daughter. I had a number one he wanted to get as like a role model, which is great.
Yeah.
But it just, I don't know. I don't know. Don't take away our old characters just to bring in new. That's my only statement on that.
Yeah.
Because this is a fad as well. It's not going to last. So what are you going to do? Take it away from your old readers who are pretty consistent about reading? And then what do they have to come back to? Nothing. They've already left. You lost them. So what's the point?
You can do these things.
You got to do them right.
When you do all these different characters at the exact same time,
that's
when it doesn't feel genuine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And DC had the same problem. Whenever at the exact same time, you had, you know, all those big... drastic changes with their main characters. It just, you know, it doesn't feel organic that way.
You know,
it doesn't feel like someone's telling a story. It feels like they're pushing a, you know, agenda from the company.
I was actually thinking about that on the way over, based on the question that we got from James, but it was...
No, I don't know. No, that was from somebody else.
I thought it was from James.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
No, Justin.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
Thank you, Justin.
Batman felt organic in as far as Bruce Wayne was out of commission, so someone had to take the mantle.
Oh yeah, like that
choice
that happened
was wrong.
That happened naturally from Scott Snyder's story, and I enjoyed I enjoyed that one. But like the whole thing with
Superman,
which that just wasn't handled well.
No,
Hal Jordan You know,
yeah.
I got him, you know, doing what he did for the better of the core, but then it was just a bit too, you know, out of place, considering the changes with the other characters as well.
Yeah.
Aquaman not being, you know, on the throne anymore. I mean, it's too much. It didn't feel like any of these, you know, writers were telling their own story aside from, you know, Center and Polo, because it fit into their overarching.
Right. They did something to set this up. And it made sense.
Yeah. But everyone else just felt like they were told, all right, we need you to write, you know, this like fish out of water kind of story for this, you know, the main character here.
Yeah.
Well, like you're saying, that like it has to be kind of well thought out how they throw this at you. With Amadeus Cho, I always thought it was kind of practical when they brought him into it, and they were just like, by the way, he's this number of smart person in the Marvel universe, and it was a practical number. It wasn't like, oh yeah, he's the smartest. You know, they went all the way to smartest. Like, I think that makes it a little more like, I can't believe that. Like, all of a sudden, she's the smartest. Like, it just seems like you can do that with any character. You know, you can make your own brand new character throw him out and say he's the smartest. You know,
Marvel only has the best.
And the best characters and the best words. What else you got?
The only other thing I got that I kind of found interesting, well, no one else saw the Killing Joke, so we won't talk about that, but the other thing was the premiere of Suicide Squad, the first two words out of the mouth of David
so
Ayer
cringeworthy.
Was F Marvel.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to drop a bomb like that, you better be super confident that you're about to show a universally loved movie.
Yeah.
That just knocks out of the park.
And that's, like...
He loved it.
Not all Marvel movies have been spectacular.
No.
No one's...
But I can't think of a single one made by their studio in recent history that has been...
Panned.
Bad. Like,
no.
Yeah.
No, probably the worst one was Thor the Dark World.
I didn't mind that movie. I don't know
why. No, I didn't mind it
so
either,
much.
But... I'm not saying it was bad. I'm saying it was the worst of what they've done.
Like, I think I dislike Iron Man
3. Maybe
Iron
Man
3
is probably the one.
Parts of Iron Man 3. There's some parts I like a lot.
You know, I went back and rewatched Iron Man 3, and ignoring the Trevor Slattery thing, it's not that bad. It's not really an Iron Man movie. It's a Shane Black movie that happens to have Iron Man in it in parts.
Yeah.
But it's not that bad. I can live with that. I the problem that I had with Thor, it just, none of it made sense. It was just kind of all over the place. And you know, I know they lost their director at one point in time, and Natalie Portman didn't even want to be in the movie. And you know, I don't know if all those problems kind of converged at once and just, you know, here's a turd sandwich.
I didn't know that she didn't want to be in the second movie.
She wanted to be in it when Patty Jenkins was directing it.
Rotten Tomatoes has Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at 93%. So.
Yeah. What's Gotham at?
Hang on. I'm just on Marvel right now.
Oh.
Even had Incredible Hulk at 67%.
I like Incredible Hulk.
I did too.
Dun, dun, dun,
with
dun.
Norton?
Frig, no?
Yeah.
Ed
Norton.
Oh, I was thinking of a TV show.
Wait, were you talking about the movie or TV show?
Movie.
The Incredible
it's
Hulk.
It's a Marvel cinematic. But what do you want me to look
Incredible
up?
Hulk,
I'm sorry.
Maybe not Hulk.
I just said Gotham. But
Gotham.
Hulk was the one with Eric Bana.
Yeah, Ang Lee.
Yeah.
Directed it.
Which.
Ang Lee went for super comic booky.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
Well, the psychological.
But the story part was kind of. Gotham has an 80% of Rotten Tomatoes?
Mm-hmm. Apparently the producers are the only
ones. Are you having a problem with Rotten Tomatoes?
I'm having a problem with that.
Okay.
First five.
I'm really amazed. I would have bet $1,000.
Let's see what it has as the worst.
That it was
the
worst,
the worst movie
50%.
I ever saw.
I would have bet a grand
like
right there.
They have it 83%. So.
What was that?
Brewster McCloud. It's horrible.
This is a great podcast.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. No, I apologize. No.
But yeah, so I think the whole F Marvel comment was like, dude, really. I mean,
and then he immediately apologized on Twitter, like, someone else yelled it. I echoed it. I got in the moment. I was, you know,
like, and
98 for Flash,
deserved.
Yeah. It just make your movie.
Yeah.
And go with that. You know, it's
yeah.
Not...
People were blasting right and left about it online. Joe Quesada, you know, came out and was like, hey, give him a break. He was just, you know, in the moment, you know, nothing but love for those guys.
And
excited to see
that.
The movie.
I get that, but, you know, 13 movies in, hasn't had a horrible one yet.
Well,
Doctor Strange, from what we've seen, looks pretty decent.
It should be common sense. Don't tear someone else down and make yourself up. To build yourself
Have
up.
Have you watched American
yeah.
politics in the last
I
20
know,
years?
I know, but... Well, that's not... Well, I know, but that's not... Not politics, though. That's
no, but that's what we do here.
Movie making, but yeah, I know that's what
but
we do.
But that's just it.
It's
Paramount doesn't come out and say, you know, screw New Line. They, you know, it's this movie. This is our movie, and it's good,
yeah.
and that's fine. That's what you should be. Tell me why I should go see your movie.
Exactly.
Now, why
you
I should
think
go see
comps to Alan
everyone
more.
Else's movie?
Mm-hmm. Think
yeah.
of send comps to Alan Moore.
And that's and you know, that's neither a positive or a negative. That's just someone that drank too much saying, and or, you know, that's
yeah,
what it comes
yeah,
off
yeah,
as.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and, you know, I get that he's proud of his movie. That's fine. And, you know, I'll go see it Friday, and it'll either be exactly what Rotten Tomatoes says it is, or
yeah, like
I'll form my own opinion.
I can understand how it happened.
Yeah.
He's there. He wants to, like, get everyone, like, ramped up. He gets excited.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's just, the second I heard that,
it's
like,
it's almost like the Kane, what was it, Herman, or no, who's the oh. guy like 8 years ago, you know, during
yeah.
his campaign speech.
Yeah.
Howard Dean, yeah, where it
yeah.
totally derailed his campaign.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
kind of what this was.
That's,
yeah.
that's horrible.
Yeah.
That's all it took back then.
Yeah, back then, yeah.
All the way
okay.
back in...
Yeah, way back
eight.
In... Yeah,
yep.
oh, aught-eight, way back then.
That's kind of the best part, is like, when we get older, we can say, back in aught-eight... Yeah, that's what I got for him.
Okay, the only one bit of news Chuck wanted me to add was, it was movie news, not really comic movie news, but they're apparently redoing Splash.
Yes. Oh,
and they have decided to gender swap, and now it's a merman.
Wop, wop.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
And it's Channing Tatum.
Yeah, well, I don't mind that. It's just, I... why?
Yeah,
it's doing it for the sake of doing it. The movie is fine. I really don't see a reason to remake.
All right, we're going to remake E.T., but this time Elliot's going to be on E.T.'s planet. It has
Ooh,
to get home.
That actually sounds pretty good.
I like that. Oh, but Elliot is a girl.
Ah,
an Asian girl.
Ooh, who's the smartest person in
Moon Girl?
No. Asian girl. We want to hit big in the Chinese market.
Okay.
Okay,
with that.
I can be a studio executive.
Okay, so we have we have a question from Justin. Actually, I think he gave me a question before, or maybe not. Somebody did, and I just kind of answered on the podcast without actually saying it. But Justin submitted saying, if you were named the Czar of comics... And were the official arbiter of all comicdom, what are three mandates you would propose?
Oh, my.
And I, thinking about it, I don't know that we'd need a mandate. Honestly, I don't know, because I think the best stuff happens when there are no rules. So,
the one thing I can think of, one event a year.
Well,
keep
yeah.
it to one. Make it good, and keep it to one.
Publish on a schedule. And stick to that schedule. It doesn't
yeah.
have to be monthly. It can be bi-monthly. It can be quarterly. But it has to come out on time.
You can't blame the publisher on that necessarily.
No, not necessarily. But, like, we just got an issue of Trees out this week. I ordered it last August.
Yeah.
It's only a year late.
So, well, it's not late. It's just been a year since I ordered it. But it's just one of those, okay... Great, I already pulled it off the shelf. I figured the series was done.
Can't schedule these things.
And, you know, how many people are going to buy it? Were they still getting it? Who knows? They don't know.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those, you know, you're hurting your own product doing that.
Hey, I thought you were in the business of selling comics.
I am. I would love to sell them, but I can't sell them if they don't come out.
I mean, where is Jake Ellis? Just saying.
Wow.
Yeah. Throwing that back in my face.
That's how people
throwing that in your face.
That's how people get banned from Twitter.
Now he's going to get a strongly worded tweet.
Tweet, you're right.
Yeah, that guy's still writing.
Oh, you got time to write tweets.
I'm write a tweet, not a book.
But yeah, that would be about it from my end. Yeah. The other thing I would like to see, have stories written, not necessarily editorial driven, although I don't mind editorial structure, like Valiant, mm-hmm. I think has a great editorial structure of where they want the stories going.
Yeah, they do.
And the ideas like that. So I can't say no editors are good, but I think a lot of books have failed because all of a sudden, oh no, we need to do this, and it got off the writer's plan.
Editor, like they can put the structure out, but let the creators tell their story.
Yeah.
You're hiring them because you want their voice in the story, and people are buying the books because they want to read what that creator's doing. Let them tell their story.
And it's not, I know we say Marvel a lot, but like I can think back to when Grant Morrison started doing JLA, and that was a big, big book. And all of a sudden, oh, by the way, Superman's now a blue electricity. What? No, and he had to then change his stories to incorporate that and stuff. But yeah, let the writers tell their stories. But, don't give them carte blanche, keep them within a structure. Because that's one thing we were talking. Oh, Adam and I were talking about the lateness of a lot of these Image books and big gaps. And I'm thinking like Bitch Planet was doing real well, but now we get an issue like every 6 months. Same with Odyssey, Sex Criminals. I can't even tell you when the last issue of Sex Criminals came out. So,
well, I brought up Ringside was supposed to come out this month.
Next week.
Next week. But they are taking, and like a lot of them are trying to do this saga model where you do 6 issues, take 2 months off, 6 issues, 2 months off. But it's like 6 issues, 6 months off, and oh, I'll do the next one when I get around to it. And it's like once you lose your momentum, yes, Brian K. Vaughan can do it on a big book like Saga because he has structure and he has a built-in fan base, but you're just coming out with some little book. Or even, this is Warren Ellis. A year later, you can't come out with a book and expect there to be any market for it. So that's my biggest thing. It's just scheduling.
Super Sons in
Yeah, JLA. So that got pushed. Yeah, that disappoints me. Yeah, I didn't like that. I'm really looking forward to that book. Especially after this issue of Superman. Mm-hmm. I can't wait to see more John White. So those are my Czar thing. Adam?
I said my main one was just a lot of this stuff coming out on time, like you were saying. Kind of. That's it.
More Pikachus.
More Pikachus,
yeah. Better covers.
Some of the covers.
But that's something legitimate, where you say the cover should be selling the book. And a lot of the books that come out today, I mean, some have decent covers, but some of them, they don't sell the
better
book.
Paper stock. Or at least cover stock.
No, even regular issue stock. I should not be reading a book and walking away with half the ink on my hands.
But at least, like, if it's just the internal pages that are like that, you're not spending a whole lot of time touching one of those pages.
Yeah.
Whereas the cover, your hands are on it for,
however long you're reading.
Yeah.
To stop putting ads into the book that look like comic book in the middle, that would be a good one.
Less events.
I did notice. Yeah, I mean less events.
Every week DC has gotten a bit more obvious with that ad.
Yeah.
Well, but I do like how they change it instead of it being four.
This time it was on the inside cover. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, like last week was still in the middle, but it was just one page.
Yeah. Like I thought it was
I liked that ad.
When I came across, the only thing is I read it with Action Comics, and that was the exact same thing happening in Action Comics with the Doomsday fight, and then it went in this. I was like, when did Wonder Woman get there? Or Batman? When did Batman? Then,
I would say Wonder
then
Woman
the sticker bar came up, and I was like, it's an ad. But the Luke Cage shaving ad.
Yeah.
That's in the middle. Just, and then DC did have that huge, like, newsletter type thing in it for a while in the middle for Rebirth to explain, like,
I didn't mind that either.
I don't mind.
Honest.
I kind of like it.
That's more informational,
I wish it
but
was
put
in the
back.
Yeah, it needed to be in the back.
I think the reason why they don't do that is because
some people just won't finish their story and then stop reading.
Yeah, but see, I just skip over it anyway. Like,
yeah, I don't mind reading those. I read that at the end.
And I get why they do it in all the books,
yeah.
But you know, if I'm only reading Batman, yeah, you put it in there. And
yeah.
But if I'm, you know, getting
every
eight books
book
a
that
week,
I've read of DC,
yeah, I don't need 8 copies of this. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Tie-ins. That's there does not need to be 60 tie-ins for every damn event. And just because Deadpool said Ulysses' name doesn't make it a tie-in. It has nothing to do with the story.
Far fewer line-wide events.
Yeah.
Far fewer events in general. Like, I'm all about if a family of books like the Bat Books want to have some sort of, you know, overarching story.
Like when they did Corvette or anything else.
Yeah.
That's okay.
But like with the Civil War stuff, it drives me nuts. Whenever every single book suddenly, you know, ties into that.
Mm-hmm.
What was the event that I didn't read, but I was still buying the books that were tying it? Original Sin.
Oh, Original
yeah.
Sin.
Where it was like,
I didn't mind that book.
Each,
the ending was really
each
bad.
Book had like a 3 issue arc that was original Sin based. Like, give me a break.
Yeah.
If I don't want to read the event, I shouldn't be forced to you know, have these Original Sin focused arcs.
Well, and then
in all my books.
If you're doing an event, the event itself should be self-contained.
It's the first article on Bleacher Report dispensing.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of funny.
Yeah, you should not. If I'm reading an event, a critical piece of that event cannot happen in some random tie-in book. Just make the event an event. If it's 8 issues, make it 8 issues. If it's 6 issues, make it. I don't care. But everything that's critical to that event should happen in the main event book, not somewhere else.
Yeah, any other books that are related should just be, you know,
they're side stories.
Extra information or just side stories.
And, you know, this was the first event with Valiant. 4001 was the first one I read. And I like how they did that with their tie-in books. Gave you a little bit extra, but if you didn't want to read it, don't read it.
And
it
all
matter.
Of their events, 4 issues.
Well,
4-issue miniseries.
Valiant just has a good structure to them. Like, it just works. Like, they have this many books that come out. This, you know, this is how their event works. This is, you know, the tie-ins, yeah, you're right. They don't have to. Like, I didn't have to pick up, like, the one I didn't get into as much was Shadow Man, because I don't know anything about Shadow Man. But this might have moved me to check out, oh, maybe I should look into Shadow Man. You know, that kind of thing. So I think they just do it right.
The big two have a lot they can learn from Valiant.
Yeah.
DC has been better with their events. Like, the Darkseid War didn't really impact anything.
That wasn't really an event, though.
But, you know what I mean.
That was a story.
Yeah.
But even Forever Evil. When Forever Evil went on, if you didn't want to read JLA, you didn't have to read it, you know, to understand what went on. It was just...
Mainly
this
because...
is what's going on with these characters.
Even some of the recent Batman ones, instead of having, like, tie-ins within the main... you know, within various series, that series would release one book that had, you know, like a subheading to it. It wasn't part of the normal.
Yeah.
It's because DC is also good at doing self-contained family events.
Yeah. Some of those got out of hand. Like, the Green Lantern ones were getting out of hand for a while there.
For a while, because they were only, because you couldn't...
Well, but there, you know,
I think
Green Lantern
well
line-wide, there was 5 books running or 6 books running.
Also, like with Batman, they brought out the weekly, which basically was a Batman event. Batman Eternal and Batman and Robin Eternal. And it didn't, you didn't have to read anything into it. Yeah, so it was like perfect for that. Forever Evil was self-contained mainly in the Justice League stuff, besides Nightwing. But it was only like an issue, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah,
well,
so...
Just funny talking about this, and after you read this issue of Batman, you'll see where the crossover is coming up. It's the night of the Monster Men crossover going through all the Bat Family books.
Yeah, but even they did. They've done like with Batman the Court of Owls stuff.
Yeah,
they've done
that
book within. I think it was within Detective Comics that was called Gothopia. And
that
it
was
didn't
weird.
Have to lead into anything. It was a good book. Like
Gothopia started well, started strong, but
But at least stayed, like, I was still reading Batman, and still fine. But it did tie into some family books, but that doesn't mean it has to tie into Superman. And I think that's where Marvel goes in, and they, you know, are just like, Marvel's gotten better, but not, they're not great still.
I disagree, because
I can read Amazing Spider-Man right now. And
right now, but what about Iron Man? What about Deadpool?
That's what I said. They're getting, there was a point when they would tie into Spider-Man, and it was the main book, and they were tying into Fantastic Four every book, where some of them they are leaving alone. Not to say that they're doing a fantastic job, which they aren't at all. They're still pretty bad.
Well, there's still too many tie-ins.
Iron Man doesn't necessarily need to tie into it. I mean, he is one of the main characters.
Iron Man should tie into it. I get that.
The Inhumans, I get it. Captain Marvel, I don't... Is the Captain America book tying into it?
I don't know.
This thing
not reading it.
It's just stuff like Deadpool doesn't need to tie into an event.
No.
You know, it just doesn't happen.
And that's why I used to like reading Deadpool. It didn't tie into anything.
But Deadpool was the flagship Marvel series.
Right now, it pretty much is.
Yeah, it's probably the highest number.
Who knows? It's sloppy.
Dave, what would your czar stuff be?
More RG.
Segue. You just mentioned numbering. I would decree that every series go back to its original numbering or take into account all the separate runs and separate numbering that they've had.
Yeah.
Whether it be Spider-Man, Unbeatable Squirrel Girl.
See, I don't mind volume numbers. That doesn't really bother me as much. Like, when the first run of Amazing Spider-Man ended at issue 700,
yes,
and then you had a break, it went to Superior Spider-Man, and then it went back to Amazing Spider-Man, call that Amazing Spider-Man Volume 2, Number 1. I'm okay with that. But then every 6 weeks, swapping it back to Number 1, that I'm not okay with.
Here's my issue with the numbering, and I'm going to go back even further with Amazing Spider-Man. When the first volume ended... You remember that?
Yeah, and then they did the half,
then they went back, and it's just like, now Batman is kind of, I think it's Batman that's doing that. Yeah, no, Detective's doing that now. But like, now if you're like, and this is mainly for comic book collectors, like some people like to put the tabs and say this is volume of this, to keep track of which run this is. You can't really do that now with Detective, because it's going back. Like Spider-Man, I just consider that Volume 1, and I guess that's what they're going to consider it, is Volume 1 for all of that now. I don't know, because I
do that.
I think Marvel's worse with it now, because they have too many number ones started up, so it's just like, I don't even know what to call these. Like with Daredevil, I was like, I don't know which volume is this.
Yeah. But like with Detective,
I'm just saying
I did
this because I'm old.
Oh, I like keeping numbers. I don't see a point.
No, it should be. I think it's cool that comics organically get up to 1,000 issues.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
And it bothers, you know, every time you hear Tom Brevoort speak, you know, that it's like, that's the way it is now. That's the way it is now. That's the market. But
comic books are like pizza.
That they want to see a new number one every year on some titles, but it's just getting ridiculous. My goodness.
You know, and I get the argument to do them as seasons, but that's not... You know, I'm the guy that's going to be collecting into my 50s. You're going to pick up new customers. And how many new customers
you're
going to
stop in
up?
Your 50s?
Well, no, but I mean, you know, how many customers are you going to pick up?
He's going to be jumping off
the
wagon.
That's still 10 years off, so he's got, you know, he'll be gone by then.
He'll be dead?
You're 40?
I'll be in April.
I thought you were like, more closer to mid-30s.
I thought so, yeah.
I'm just young walking.
Don't give up yet, then.
No. Come on. how many kids that come in here today are going to stick with this hobby for the next 40 years?
Yeah, you're right.
So, I get you got to build new audiences, but, you know, I think we've all said it. You know, we picked up an issue of Spider-Man or Batman at some number and didn't go, oh, my God, I got to read 400 books to catch up.
No, you just pick up a book and go.
And how many kids are going to stick with doing this when Colin's, like, whatever age he's going to be then, and just be, like, so grouchy and,
well,
you know, one of those kind of comic shops? That well, it'll just be like, ah, oh, when I was a kid, the Daredevil,
Deck will be running
Frank
the store.
Miller, and they'll be like, oh, man.
Do you think Deck will take over for you one day?
I would hope, but I don't know. I don't know what I'd do with it. That's my, like,
he's like, I'm turning this into something else.
Okay. Yeah, Pokemon store.
Throw all the books out on the street.
Coffee shops are in.
I hope he wants to take it over, but he
so far
at 11, he has zero interest. So it hurts. It hurts.
Shouldn't hurt.
It hurts. Neither of my kids show any interest.
Maggie. Okay.
Maggie.
That time. She'll be
you get animosity.
Cyborg.
I think you had that. Yeah. I read that. Can't wait to talk about it. There was one thing I also want to tweet the writer of it, going, why? One thing they did made no sense. So, but other than that.
When you like a book, you're just like,
I do! No, I thought the book was very good. The book was very good. Well,
never mind.
You'll get there.
We'll get to it.
What else, Dave?
Back in my day.
Oh, that's the only one. That's the only one.
You fall asleep? It looks like you went out.
I did.
Back in on
what? I'm holding
Cranky Kong
notes.
Over here.
That's the only one. That's the only one I thought of. Immediately came to mind here as far as general.
To go with your numbering thing, no point issues.
Yeah, exactly.
Get the point.
And if it is a point issue, it can't be a completely different story aside from what the regular numbers are. Like, we're
like Spider-Man. Like
1.1, 1.2, yeah, a whole different.
Like, I don't
how about 700.1?
Yeah. That's like a radius.
Like I said, it's going to come down to it. I said long ago, we're going to get Fantastic Four Apple.
Yeah.
Spider-Man Kumquat.
I'm surprised Deadpool hasn't done that at some point.
It'd be okay as long as we get a Fantastic Four.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
I'd be happy with the apple and the banana and the orange.
So Dave
Except
wants...
it's going to be a Fantastic Four based on the 90s cartoon.
Give me Herbie at this point. It's okay.
That was the 60s cartoon.
Yeah, that's right. It was 60. I don't think they had it in the 90s. The 90s cartoon is bad. But yeah.
I don't know how you can find any animation style from the 60s to what happened in the 90s. But.
No, I wasn't. I forgot that Herbie might have been in that cartoon. Because they used him a lot. And even the books for a while.
Johnny was in it. The 90s cartoon, okay. But they must have not worried about kids setting themselves on fire in the 90s like they did the 60s.
Well, actually, that wasn't the real case in the 60s. It was the Human Torch had been licensed to another company, so they couldn't use him.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
That was the problem.
See, I always heard it was what Dave said.
Yeah.
That
no, but I heard a thing saying, no, that's not why. That's like, not a myth, but that's what a lot of people thought. Yeah. There you go. I don't have a rant or anything. Anybody have a rant? Anything you want to get off your chest?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think we're all feeling pretty happy.
I'm pretty happy. It was funny, interesting. I was listening to the new...
We were happy.
No. I just didn't know if I don't want to go ahead and talk about books just in case anybody has something
to say.
Everybody
was like, we're happy. And you're like, I'll fix it.
Yeah.
Not my story, you're not.
Yeah. No, it was funny that I was listening to the Comics Conspiracy podcast when I ran for lunch, and they were talking about buying books, and they've had a lot of people, especially in the summer, people are cleaning out garages and attics and stuff, and come in to sell them books, and he's like, it's just the expectations he's getting from people are very, very high. Yeah.
What?
And it's just funny because, I mean, I'm seeing it too, where people come in with middling books that aren't that exciting, and...
You know it is, right?
Yeah, he's the one that did...
Did Justice League with Jeff Johns, yeah.
you know, coming in with stuff expecting big, you know, top dollar for their stuff, and it's like, no, you come in with four long boxes of crap, you're not getting anything. So it was funny hearing somebody else talking about that.
That's right.
You're thinking Jason Fabok.
I am thinking Jason Fabok.
Yeah.
Never mind. Sorry.
He did some action before.
Yeah.
In the New 52. Yeah, Aaron Cooter went to Marvel.
He did action with, who was he on action with? Greg Pak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean...
Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you got all excited for nothing.
You might have.
I wasn't excited. I was upset because I really liked
Fabok.
Fabok, sorry.
But yeah, it was just funny. I'd never actually heard another store talk about buying books and stuff like that. So it was kind of funny. Because he said like, well, yeah, in perfect shape it would be worth $80, but this one's in this shape is worth about $50. I'll probably sell it for about $30, so I'll give you $10 for it. And he's like, you know, when people look at it, and I'm like. Yeah, it's pretty fairly accurate.
Yeah, but that's realistic.
Yeah, but people aren't realistic.
No,
this is selling for $80. Will you give me $80 for it?
No, it's selling for $80 if it's in perfect condition.
Some guy on eBay who's been selling it for like 20 years.
Yeah,
since eBay started.
The best thing to ever happen to us as a business for this is Pawn Stars. Yeah. Because they see that, you know, where they'll have the expert come in and say, yes, this thing will sell at auction for between this number and this number, and then the customer always asks for that number, and you see Rick go, no, you know, I have to make a profit, so at best I'll give you this, but he said it will sell at auction between this and this, and you're going right for the high number. I'm thinking at best I'm going to get the low number, so it's just nice when people come in saying, you know, yeah, you know, okay, yeah, this book's worth $100, but I'm not giving $100 for it.
Then
you know.
Go sell it yourself.
You will get people in here that will come in with like this little pile of books, and they'll be like, he'll give them a price, and they'll just be like, I think I'm gonna hold on for a little bit. You're
well, a lot
like,
of times
I don't care because either way.
I learned long ago, unless there's a book in there that I really, really want that I know I can turn, yeah, then I'll work it. But most of the time, it's crap, and it's like, you know, I'll often say, do you have any neighborhood kids? You can give these to, you know, it's,
like,
there's,
give them away?
You know, giving them to me is, you know.
But I've had these in a drawer for, like, you know, 30 years.
Yeah, but,
hoping.
Yeah, because I did learn that, you know, it's my price, not their price, and, you know, whatever I'm willing to pay, but, you know, yeah, they want $300 for the stack, no, it's worth $50, you know.
But
we're not negotiating to that. Could be. And the best thing about those books,
then I'm pretty sure it's in
there. Compared to the new ones, those old DC books are a delight because they put the printing on the cover. So you can say, yes, it's a fourth printing because they have Roman numeral 4 under the 75. Yeah. And you can say, yeah, but it's a fourth print. You know, it's not worth anything. And, you know, you're not, you know, clearly there's a number 4 right there. You know, I'm not making it up. So I do enjoy. I'm happy that they did that.
They also have them on the barcodes, though.
I don't know if they did back then.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. That's just something now. But a lot of those didn't even have barcodes. So, because remember, I remember, especially in the 80s, like Marvel, you had a barcode or you had Spider-Man's face, you know, in the barcode thing. That was the direct market version. Didn't have the barcode on it.
I have books that have Spider-Man's face.
Yeah. So, because comic book stores don't have scanners, that's crazy. They have cigar boxes. I do love Carol Kalish was the head of Marvel sales back in the '80s. Peter David worked under her, and sure, one of her big incentives was to get cash registers into stores, and she did a thing like subsidizing them so comic stores would have actual cash registers.
Also, there were less comic stores back then because you had, you know, newsstands.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, but just the fact to make it more professional, because, you know.
I only remember
most of them don't have a POS.
I remember one comic book store near me growing up, and I think 2/3 of the store was back behind Black Curtain, and kids couldn't go behind.
No, my store didn't have that. It was like this real small store, and it had a bathroom.
This is a red curtain.
No, I have a blue curtain. Yeah, trust me. You're welcome to go back there and see all the lead figures.
Yeah. I go back to the Star Trek ships.
There you go. Yeah, exactly. There's nothing exciting back there.
They're not dirty.
Yeah, Adam.
It's not like the bicycle store.
Stick one of those lead figures in your mouth.
Why are you putting it in your mouth?
Oh,
They're poisonous.
That's what they're made for.
That's not what they're made for.
This isn't that kind of store, Adam.
That was so Dudley.
Poor Dudley.
But I do love these, you know, the story, reading stuff like Peter David used to write a ton of articles about that. I think I have one of his books. I should go back and reread that.
Yeah. But I digress.
Yeah. Yeah. And I used to be the back page of Comic Buyer's Guide for all those years. I should go back and reread. Brian Hibbs did two books. Well, not two books. He wrote a series of articles that they collected in two books. I remember reading that the year before I opened the first one. But yeah, I just love the stories of the, you know, the old business, the way things were. Fun. Personally, I'm a history guy, though. That's what I should have majored in college. It was funny. I had an interesting conversation with Steve Lieber on Twitter. I give him a hard time because he was on the... I've known him for a long time. Not known, but like talked to him at conventions and stuff for a long time. I had him sign a copy of Whiteout to Sandy. And he was one of the judges at San Diego, judging the stuff, and so they picked the finalists for the retailer thing, and not getting picked. So then I ran into him on the floor, and I just kind of gave him a hard time, like, thanks, jerk. Because he's from Pittsburgh, he's from Squirrel Hill.
Yeah.
So I'm like, thanks, he didn't even get me to the finals. Jeez. Not carrying any of your books anymore. So he's from Portland, he moved to Portland now. So he was at the last two Comics Pro meetings. So this year he was promoting the Fix. I'm like, I'm not carrying your book. You don't support me, I'm not supporting you. You know, he smiled, yeah. Taking it very good naturedly. He follows me on Twitter. He likes a lot of my tweets, even just random tweets.
And, are you guys? I'm going home.
Really smile at me.
So yesterday he tweeted something about glad to see his old stomping ground getting their own convention. He linked to a convention in State College. And I responded back. I said, you're a Nittany Lion? I said, you're making it really, really hard to hate you for not giving me an Eisner. And... then he responded back. He only went a couple semesters there before he decided to, you know, go into cartooning. And I said, I think you made the right choice. And we just got talking about business classes and stuff. But it was just fun. You know, here I am talking to Steve Lieber, you know, just on Twitter. So that was fun. My little bit of enjoyment. But it's nice. I mean, and that's one nice thing that you guys get, too. I mean, I know him a little bit face-to-face just because he was at the thing pitching his book. But I love when I see fans talking to... the creators. I see Lord Retail is talking to him all the time, Jermaine. It's just fun.
I mean, he is Lord Retail.
He is Lord Retail. Yeah. No, I understand.
He's the closest thing to Zorro Comics.
Exactly. But it's funny, but I think a lot of the creators...
Lord Business was already paid.
Yeah.
A lot of the creators feel that he has a little more credibility, not just because of his Twitter name, but what he does and stuff. But it's just...
It is 2016. That is how you get credibility these days.
That's true. That's true. Especially, like, on Prez. But, yeah. So
getting
fun.
That cat or pie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It'd be... but...
That threw you off.
Fun. You did. You threw me off. You threw me off totally. Let's see. Oh, yeah. We call him Candy. So, Pat... Oh, no, Pat's already been talking. Adam, why don't you start, since you always seem to wait till the end and go, oh, yeah, I read that, too.
Yeah, plus I can't read my own notes this week, okay. So I'm going to have to...
Notes?
Yeah.
Let's go, Adat.
Okay. Archie.
Adam's wearing an Adat t-shirt.
I read it, Adam.
Did you read it?
I read it.
Good, we can move.
That good, huh?
Yeah, no, we're good. Actually, like, Archie... does this weird thing sometimes where an issue will go into, like, the next book, but it has no setup, like, from the last issue. So, like, this was one of those issues.
This seems to be entirely a new story.
Yeah, starting. And it didn't seem like there was an arc, because there's no real transition from arc to arc. Like, it's weird.
I mean, well, it's...
Not to say it was bad. I did not dislike it.
Right, it's, you know, it's still dealing with the Betty, Veronica, Archie... triangle as always.
Yes.
Oh yeah.
they're not together at the same time.
Wow. Well, that's another book coming out.
Maybe.
Wow.
Wow.
After Dark with Archie.
That's right. So in this book, Archie is talking about, like, he usually starts off each book with, like, explaining what happened, like, already. Like,
yeah. Like, monologues.
Like, something already happened. He's narrating
he's
what's
breaking
happening.
The fourth wall.
Yeah. So he is talking about, like, this teacher that he has. I forget his name.
Mr. Collier.
That's it. And he's, like, he's not, like, a hated teacher by all, but he's, like, a real strict teacher.
Yeah.
But, you know, but he has a heart of gold, you know? It's one of those kind of...
Yeah, like, said, you know, he's tough but fair.
He's
or
tough, but at the end, it'll be like Mr. Holland's Opus,
yeah,
where they have, like, this big
tyrant.
Celebration at the end. But,
I like that movie.
I like that movie a lot.
You know, I like teachers like that.
But, yeah, so... Archie gets in trouble for somehow... And whatever Archie gets in trouble... But I got one. Whenever Archie gets in trouble, they never really show you what happened, but, like, something ridiculous happens.
Like,
so in this case, like somehow popcorn was, like, coming out of the whole mech dryer or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
that was almost as bad as when he caught the ice cream.
Yeah, the ice cream, they mentioned that.
That was
the best one. But... he gets yelled at, and Veronica records it on her phone, and he's just like, oh, you can't yell at Archie like that. And somehow, campaign manager for Lodge is running for mayor, and gets the video and shows it, and it turns out that this Collier guy is also running for mayor. And they used it against him, saying, oh, he's just a horrible person.
Yeah.
Well, he gets all this, you know, he's humiliated, he just doesn't want to do it, everybody's going after him about it, and... he decides to leave town, which I thought was a little extreme, to tell you the truth.
The other shoe that drops is this Mr. Collier is Betty's uncle.
Yes, that's the other thing. It's Betty's uncle. So she's not really happy at Archie about it. Archie tried to fix it, but it didn't work. And, you know, Archie's just in a mess. It's basically
and everybody's
kind
mad
of Veronica's
everybody's
fault.
Mad at Veronica, and she goes to her dad to... tell him to fix everything.
So fix it because she said, I pick my friends.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was, it's good. I like this book. I really do. I didn't think I was going to like this as much as I have. So
it was a good issue, a solid issue. I really liked it.
Yeah. I really did like it. Which is kind of funny. Like, Veronica, Betty and Veronica, which came out, 2 weeks ago? Veronica also gets in trouble for text messaging something, like, because she tells him about the coffee company that's moved in. It turns out, like, Lodge bought it. Very similar things. But Archie has been really good. Another book I read was Detective Comics.
I read that.
I really liked this issue.
Yeah,
I thought this was really just. I like the idea of what's going on in this book.
Yeah.
Colonel is he's a colonel, right?
Yeah, Colonel.
Mm-hmm. Colonel Kane is running these Batmen, and they've decided he's made a organization after seeing how well Batman did, especially during Zero Year. They mentioned that.
Yeah, and I like how they did that.
They tied that to that. That was really really cool. Because I wasn't expecting too much tying into the previous stuff, but I like how they are combining like a little bit of the old stuff to New 52, so. But, he's basically trying to figure out everything about Batman, and basically, you know, having a team, it works better like this. You know, and he saw that one man could do it.
Yeah,
so
imagine what a whole
army
could do. Yeah.
And, I don't think his daughter's too happy about this situation.
No. I did like that they kind of showed that they really didn't best Batman in the previous issue. That, you know,
that he wasn't just taken down.
He was fine.
I loved how he got it. He only escaped.
Yeah,
with a tooth, breaks the tooth out that he had in there that turns into like a gas pellet. And then he runs into this like guy. This like I don't know some sort of computer like guy that they have
wearing
like,
a Batman shirt.
Wearing a Batman shirt. He's a big fan, but also you know. He's no good. You can tell. Well, he pulled a gun out on him, so. I like their base of operations. I thought that was really cool, how they had their own cave.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the belfry that they had is kind of out of the question now that they know, so I guess they're transitioning their base of operations into an abandoned subway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Felt like
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Yeah, they were going to look for, especially the second one. They were going to look for a new home.
Well, Clayface, so there's a bat train now?
Yeah, there's a bat train. There's always been a bat train. We have it somewhere there. I don't know. The whole idea of this book has been, it was good. At first, I wasn't too sure how I was going to like it in the first issue because I was like, it's okay. But this issue really did it for me. I think this sold this book for me.
I'm still thinking something very bad's going to happen to Tim Drake, though.
Really? I almost feel like he's not going to be on the team.
Because of that thing someone said from San Diego?
Well, yeah, I mean, he's expendable at this point. Because of, you have Damian on the Teen Titans, you have all this other stuff, but he's seen a great outlook of life, and he's got Spoiler, and it's like, okay, he's being set up for a
fall.
Which is possible. He's one of the, you're right, a lot of the characters, just like Batman has a sidekick.
Yeah.
If he doesn't have Duke, he could have Bluebird. It's like they have so many, which she disappeared.
Well, he's still got Damian.
Damian's running his Teen Titans in this next book, and then he'll be on Super Sons. So, I really liked it. So, Future Quest. This issue of Future Quest was okay.
Yeah, I was not a huge fan.
Too soon to do an issue like this. I guess. Yeah.
Also, they haven't really moved this story along very well, I don't think. Russ was here on Saturday, he was talking about it a little bit. I was like, he brought up a good point of, like, they introduced a character at the end of the second issue, the woman who Race Bannon knows.
Jezebel Jade.
And he was just like, if I didn't know anything about these people, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah.
And I was like, I get you. Like, I mean, a lot of people are trying to, because you're wanting to bring this book out and bring people into this Hanna-Barbera universe, I guess. And you shouldn't leave it open for people like, who's this? Like, why should I care? So, in that case, I feel like a backup would be really good for this book. But, who knows?
And they did that with the first issue of Wacky Raceland.
Yeah.
And I thought that it worked well for that.
I thought it did, too, to show that. And then they didn't do anything in the second issue.
Right.
So. Well, the whole book was a back story of a character, so maybe that's why.
But, it's not that it was bad, but at least get through your first arc, and then if you want to have a side story of, here's something that happened beforehand with Harvey Birdman. Here are the we haven't even been introduced to the whole cast yet.
No, it's taken, and that's the thing, in three issues, it's taken a lot of, they should have had backups to introduce the cast.
Yeah.
A little bit. Not...
Formally introduced into the story.
Yeah.
There's still a lot,
I don't really know what's happening in the book. That's the problem. Like, I know there's this entity, but we know that since the first issue.
Right.
Now we're figuring out, this is how Harvey Birdman is involved. This is what this is. Yeah, but what's the problem? What are they going up against?
Yeah.
In issue three, that's kind of a problem. But how many issues is Future Quest?
I think it's ongoing.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a lot to like here, but so far I'm not really enjoying it a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to the point where I actually started thinking about dropping it.
In issue one and two, I was like, okay, this is something. Because at least in issue two, it kind of continued.
Right.
Yeah,
so I really
in issue three, it was just like, I feel like I'm in the same place I was with
issue
two.
Continued, but still not a whole lot.
It didn't really
happen. It's very slow.
And for issue three to come out, be like, wow, this is it? I think they need to do something. But,
what did you do, Adam?
They're just going to catch him.
Catch your Pokemon?
There's a Charizard down there.
You gotta catch them all?
Yeah.
You gotta catch them all. You got a medal for almost catching them all. Yeah.
Keep going.
We can congratulate you. it's just needs to move on. Maybe issue four will be better, hopefully. Dave, this is something you've read. Autumn Lands.
Yes, I read that.
Tooth and Claw.
Yes, Tooth and Claw.
AKA.
This issue gave you a little bit. Explain these statues.
We finally get a lot of answers, some answers to what's been going on in this issue.
I guess you also figure out where magic comes from in a way.
Yeah.
Because that's the energy that these statues were created to disperse, like, take energy out of the earth and disperse it into the atmosphere?
Yeah, they take energy and they clean it and disperse it back out.
Yeah.
And that is
the they even store it, like that storage gap.
Yeah, they store it.
I don't know if, like, a huge amount happened in this issue, besides that explanation of that. They did, these statues, though, they want to die, because they've been around for years, they're done. They don't want to do what they're doing anymore.
Yeah, who can blame them?
And the goat kind of screws up. Or maybe the goat did it on purpose, I don't know, but he mentioned Henry Higgins. Yeah. And then that kind of set the statues off, thinking that they weren't who they were, and they kind of self-destructed, it seems. So we don't know if the goat's dead or not or what.
Yeah.
Kind of left it open. But at the end of the issue, we saw the woman in, like, the flying insect-like vehicle.
Yeah.
So we still don't know who she is. So a lot needs to be answered, I think. But
yeah, I like how the Leroy, the champion, you know, has the conversation with the one statue, and he kind of introduces the concept of choice to them.
Yeah,
because he's like, you know, you guys are, you women are free now. You can do whatever you want. What do you want to do? She's like, what do I want to do?
Yeah, that, they basically believe they were created for this, and that's it. And then the next step is death.
And then, like, she starts to explode. You know, charged with all this energy, and tells them to get the heck out of there.
Yeah,
and their facility comes
to. What's interesting
down.
About her, though, is she started to make choice.
Yeah.
When she did that, she was just like, you need to go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, you know, my sisters won't do the same thing, but, like, so she did. She was able to, and he was able to accomplish it, but he got Dustin or Dusty or whatever.
Dusty,
out of there.
Yeah.
As quick as, and then they think the goat might have perished, but they're not sure, but I don't know. The goat was kind of fishy. Something weird.
I don't think he had, I think he did it.
I think he accidentally did it.
He just did it accidentally, because that's just the kind of goat he is. He's just not that smart.
I didn't really trust him, though.
Yeah.
I don't know. Something about him. But we'll see.
We know what poisoned the sheep, too.
Because of the
blood of them, they said a lot of them, the statues committed suicide, and their energies, you know, seeped out.
They didn't know that would happen.
The water.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
I thought it was really good. I really liked it.
Yeah, it's a good series. It is. But we'll see. We'll see where this goes. Because, I mean, there's a lot to be answered.
Oh, sure, yeah. There's new questions every issue. And I'm glad this one did answer a few of them.
Yes. Let's see. What else did I read? Dr. Fate.
Heard that.
This
issue, or this series, has picked up quite a bit since we got Kent.
Yeah.
On there.
Yeah, I'm a little more interested because it became like, I think we talked about this before in the last issue with it, but it became kind of like a legacy.
It feels like you're passing the torch now.
Yeah, and I like that. In this issue, there's not a lot to
explain. Are there two helmets or just the one helmet?
Kent doesn't need a helmet anymore.
Okay.
He's able to just harness
the power.
Yeah,
he has
the power.
Okay.
Out of magic. But
I read a lot of old Dr. Fate, but not
Scream. Yeah. And it's his uncle.
Great.
Yeah, great
uncle.
Yeah. But in this...
old 80s and 90s Dr. Fate. Old Dr. Fate.
You don't have to be so hard on yourself.
The Sean McManus.
I mean, in the book, he is pretty old, because he's his mom's great uncle.
Okay.
But in this issue... well, in the last issue, they had one of the... I don't know what you call them exactly. The creatures from the afterlife or whatever was able to end up on the, you know, regular realm.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
One of Anubis's flunkies.
Yes. They showed up, and he was able, but how they wondered how he got in. Well, it turned out that when he was last there, when he came back from the dead, what is the kid's name? Khalid?
Yeah.
Yeah. He somehow left it open. The door, and it was up to him to close the door. So he had to go back into that realm to lock it up, and then, you know, that was basically what this issue was about. But it was good. It was just, I like this, him just Kent teaching him how to do things. But in this issue, it was interesting because in this, he was just like, I don't know how you need to do it. You just need to figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, because you have to do it your way. And I thought that was kind of neat. But that was basically it for this. I can't remember anything else that was...
No, nothing else that we need to mention, I don't think.
There was a backup to this issue. It was basically talking about, like, protests and stuff like that.
And it was just showing how, you know, he is in a... You know, do things his way. Like,
yeah.
Whereas Kent was like, you know, saying that these matters are not, you know, something we should be involved with. Yeah. And yeah, just
it was
fine. Good. Yeah,
I've really liked the book. It was starting to like
it was dragging on with the whole flood thing for a while. But
the flood
was
going on forever.
It's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, the artist
I was gonna drop it, and I think you talked me into sticking on again, or maybe it was Colin.
I just always talk you into staying on.
Yeah, you're a jerk like that. So you have one more issue. And
yeah, the worst things I want to hear, worst words, or I want to drop.
Yeah. The
when Kent drop or replace though.
When Kent showed up, I think I was just like, yeah, this is more interesting.
Maybe that was the issue that
it really sold me because I was just like, I was actually getting kind of bored with it because I was like, okay, where are we going? And then I kind of thought it might be one of these books that just kind of goes away for Rebirth, but the way they're doing it, it doesn't seem like that because they're
Have they announced an end to this book yet? Or is it still just ongoing?
No, it's still ongoing.
Yeah.
Everybody thought it was going to end, and I remember Paul Levitz was like, nope. Not
so, I think it's picked up a pretty good fan base to keep it going, so. But you know what? That's all I'm going to talk about. It's only stuff for other people. Lame.
Dave!
So did Dave.
Okay.
Yeah. Wacky pattern today.
Oh, Dave, Dave often runs out of books, so what's
Dave? Yeah, I only have two now. The best
books, Dave.
Don't interrupt.
I was engaging Dave. I was talking to him.
This is part of the conversation, Colin. Not just be like, what's happening here? I got a rant on that.
The best book that came out last week was Civil War II, number 4.
Somebody interrupt Dave, please.
Anyways, let's move on.
Drinking.
He's speaking crazy talk right now.
I read that.
I actually, there's a friend of mine at work, and we talk comics occasionally, and he's a big Marvel guy. I'm not a huge DC guy, but he's been reading some Valiant lately. And he came up by my office for something this week.
Wow, something's going on.
Asked me what I've been reading, and then he was like, have you been reading Civil War? I said, no. He goes, it's garbage. He's like, it is awful. And this is a lifelong Marvel guy.
Well, I say that a bit facetiously.
What? No, I mean, it wasn't horrible.
But it was okay.
I had some problem with some motivations in it.
Motivated to read it.
No, but in the book, Tony discovers how Ulysses' powers work. And it's basically almost like a logarithm in his head of possible futures.
Yeah.
It's not that he can see the future, because as Tony says, being a futurist, the future hasn't happened.
Yeah.
So it can't be inevitable. Things can change.
How does he pick the right one?
That's the thing. He has all these different inputs.
I think it's all like probabilities.
Something. Yeah, it's probability.
Yeah.
So
does he already have Domino that could, I mean, she can influence probability.
Right, where he's foreseeing it, but then the thing is he can project it into people's minds. So the thing is, everybody saw the Hulk killing everybody. So that's why they took action. And Tony's like, so it's not necessarily the future. And he's talking to Carol, and it's like, so if it was 50-50 that this future could happen or it couldn't, would you still take action against the person who you think may do this? And she's like, yes. What if it was a 10% chance? Yes. And Tony's just like, no. You can't accuse this person of doing this and imprison him or kill him based on a 10% chance that may do something.
I feel like this event, and I'm not reading it, but I feel like this event is ruining Carol Danvers almost.
Kind of. So it basically comes down to the point where she's like, well, fine, then I'm just going to arrest you and throw you in jail so I don't have to deal with you anymore. And all of a sudden, all of Tony's friends stand up behind him saying, no, we're going to support him. And then she says, oh, yeah, well, I have friends, too. And the Guardians of the Galaxy come flying in, and that's the last panel.
How did they know to show up?
Yeah, I know.
Like,
it was a very...
Were they playing Uga Chaka?
So,
like they've established that she, you know, knows them and is, you know, working
well, she's
before.
Doing it for the right reasons to protect and save
but why,
lives.
But why would like these, you know, like not necessarily outlaws but anti-heroes?
Yeah. Well, and Hawkeye got off for the murder of Hulk. Because of these visions and stuff. So it's just, Tony's just kind of losing his mind.
How do you get off because of visions? Right. You're like, Marvel.
She-Hulk is alive, also.
Just put your tongue.
But, yeah, yeah, She-Hulk is not happy
yeah.
that he killed Bruce.
Yeah.
So, just, I mean, a lot happened, but yeah, it was just that the Guardians of the Galaxy thing was just a little, what?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's funny because in the first Civil War, everybody was so not on Tony's side.
Yeah.
And even in the movie, you weren't, you know, Captain America Civil War. No, you're not going to be against Captain America. But in this one, I am so firmly on Tony's side. It's just, it's a weird
yeah.
twist for me.
As you were saying with motivation, like for, in Civil War, there was motivation for the reason why Tony was doing
yeah.
what he did.
Right.
That's
well,
why
Tony was doing
so
it because he said, someone is going to do it. The government is going to do this. I'd rather it be me in charge of making
yeah.
sure it's done rather than like
so why
Henry
is
Peter Gurich, you know, back in the Avengers
yeah.
days, you know, type of thing. So, yeah. I mean, it's moving along. We have three
so
more
issues.
So is
Carol only really doing this because of what happened to War Machine?
No. Carol's doing this because she is now in charge of, I don't know what
the like, Ultimates.
Yeah, but it's that it's the hovering
Flight?
Space
oh, okay.
Alpha,
Alpha
Flight.
Flight. Alpha Flight.
And their job. Well, I knew it wasn't Shield. And it wasn't Sword. It was.
It sounds
it
like
has,
Sword, but it's
yeah.
Alpha Flight?
Yeah, and Brant, Abigail Brant is
yeah.
there. Like, is her you know second command. Hmm.
So they're in charge of protecting Earth, and she's kind of the mindset: anything we can do to prevent something from happening is good. Where Tony's like, to a point, but. You're relying on something that's not
especially
fact.
Like you said, a 10% chance.
Right, and that's what well he just kept lowering it. He's like, what about this? What about this? And basically she's saying as long as there is any possibility that I could prevent something bad from happening, I would infringe whatever their rights. Like she arrested somebody because there was a possibility and it was a it was an empty briefcase this
yeah.
person was taking home because they replaced it. But according to Ulysses, there was a bomb in that briefcase.
Yeah.
So they arrest this person and take him away to prison with no
no trial, no
right?
None
of that because of his vision, even though it was
sounds unstable to run.
Yeah, it just it, it's
yeah,
just
then,
extreme.
Called Minority
then,
Report.
Then
yeah.
Nightcrawler comes in and gets her out of there.
Yeah, yeah.
X Men shows up.
Yeah, yeah.
They, well, because in well, Civil War X Men. There was a big thing with Magneto going against the Inhumans, of course. And Nightcrawler kind of shows up on Magneto's side, kind of going, no, I, you know, at first you thought he was coming to attack them or do something. And he's like, no, I think you're right. I didn't read the second one of that or the first one. That one was good. But yeah, so I mean, it's not horrible. Hopefully it's going somewhere. It's just taking a little while. One of my points was this is basically issue six because you had the Free Comic Book Day issue, you had the zero, and now. In six issues,
the other
this
thing
needed
that,
to move along.
The other thing
quicker.
That drove me crazy, it took 10 pages to get to the first page of story.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
one,
but
two,
I
three,
love it with your power metallic cover, then you turn the page and it's a second cover. Then you turn the page and it's a page, a panel from the previous issue. You turn the page, it's the credits.
The
turn the page, it's the it's all the faces and showing who's on what side, and you have the recap page, and you're just going, when's this going to start? And then my other problem with it, I think it was only like 24 pages of story for $5.
Yeah.
And there were several double page spreads that were just pure, dear artist, draw this. Like the very last page was a double page spread of the Guardians coming. It was just basically, you know, there
it
wasn't
could have been
a
one panel,
lot
and
yeah,
instead it was,
yeah.
Yeah.
So, it, in that sense, it's like, I don't know if you're getting your $5 worth. Because then I compare it to like a $7, or maybe is it $8, the Legends of Tomorrow
$8.
Book,
yeah.
Where, you know, you're getting a ton of story and something like that. So,
do you recommend this $1 million trade
been,
when it comes out?
Yeah. It's been fine, we'll see. But, I mean, and then the little things bug me, like we still don't have the paperback of Secret Wars.
Yeah.
You know, we have a $50 hardcover, but no paperback of it. It's like, come on, guys. I was talking about Axis with, I think, Tim or somebody today, and we still have never gotten a paperback of Axis. It's like, did they disown that sort of story?
Because it came out under the Sixes title.
Yeah, you're looking.
But,
it's in the S's.
I've been searching in the room. But no, it's not horrible. I mean, it's a fine event, but it's just it's moving a little slow. So, what was your other book?
Captain Kidd.
Okay, how was that?
Number
I
one.
I didn't get it. I didn't
it was
read
it was very good. I thought
that was Mark Waid.
Mark Waid and Tom Payer are the writers. New book from Aftershock. I related to this book more than any other book probably out there because the main character, Chris Vargas, he's a middle-aged guy who has aches and pains all over his body, and he's a music critic.
How do you relate?
Because I'm a middle-aged guy and I have aches and pains all over my body.
You're spry, Dave.
Spry.
Young and spry. I was going to say that he's just young like... He was laughing about this guy's aches and pains all over his body.
In my mind.
I couldn't deliver presents all over the world in one night.
Well, okay. well, that's true. We'll keep that between us.
in the six better not even try.
I'll try to compete.
And he's a music critic, and he can turn into, whenever he wants, he can turn into a Captain Kidd, you know, a teenage superhero.
And that's where Dave relates. Dave, too, can turn into a superhero.
I wish I could turn into a superhero like he does.
This is reality, man. Can't do that.
So during, not too much of the story, but he meets another character, Halea, who seems to know a lot more about him than even he knows about himself. And he's flying around and doing the superhero heroic stuff, and she comes by too, and she can fly also. So I really liked it. I'm going to see where it goes. It's really good. I mean,
cool. Yeah. Tried to decipher your notes, Pat.
Go ahead, Pat. I guess.
You want to go, Pat?
Yeah, it doesn't matter.
I'll go first.
Hal Jordan, The Green Lantern Corps.
Yeah.
Any answer to that?
Resolved one of my issues with issue one.
With Sinestro?
Rebirth? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah. With what? Why he was?
Well, that he was old and grandpa. Yeah. And where are they going with this? I thought his daughter was going to take over. And be more compassionate.
She thought so also.
Yeah.
Yeah. What happened to her hair, though? Is that, like, normal? She had, like, the 60s housewife haircut just all of a sudden.
Trying something new.
Yeah. I was just going
to
say.
Wait, so she went to the space stylist?
Her stylist retired. She had to go on to a different, you know, War World.
Yeah, I was going to say, I didn't think War World had a beauty shop, but maybe it did, yeah.
Yeah, they have those fancy outfits.
Yeah, but I thought the rings made those.
No, I mean, the Darkseid's kids and whatnot. Like, they have all those fancy armors and stuff, so they have some fashion, some style there.
Okay. I never...
It's a budding industry.
You know, the Apocalypse beauty salon.
Yeah. Darkseid's cuts and curls.
Uses Omega beans.
But no, I really enjoyed.
Did you call it Darkseid's one?
Cuts and curls.
That's the name.
There you go. But no, I think this is off to a really good start for this series. I'm enjoying it more than the Green Lantern's book.
Okay.
So far, I mean, this feels like it's going somewhere where Green Lantern's is kind of plodding along with the same thing over and over again.
Yeah, and you're right. It has done that for about three issues now. Where, you know, second issue in, Green Lantern Corps is back.
Yeah.
We don't know. I mean, we know, but Hal doesn't know. And well, at the end of...
I'm just kidding.
Well, don't kid.
We're joking here. It's a serious podcast.
Well, yeah, we know why they're back, but how about them?
Yeah, the only thing I wish is that, like, they all, you know, appeared back in their, you know, in this unknown area of space.
Mm-hmm.
But still, like,
Well, two things. One issue I had is whenever they all showed up, Arisia was with them. Like, she was helping to carry Kilowog.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, she was sucked
she was
in, like,
gone, like,
days before they went through. I mean, after her was Simon Baz, and we see him in the Green Lantern
book. Yeah, he's been back on Earth for months, it seems like.
Yeah, in this book, he's not around yet. So there's a few, like, small, you know, current continuity issues going on. And was there still something up with Hal Jordan in this? With, like, did he still... Did he almost...
He...
turn into, like, the concert himself again?
It felt like that was what was going to happen, because,
yeah.
And then he felt fear. Not he felt fear, but he, you know, felt that there was fear.
That's right, yeah.
And, you know, that's when one of the Yellow Lanterns showed up to attack him.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the one thing I got to wonder about is if, you know, prior to all this going on, Mogo became the new Oa and was in Sector Zero, which is where Warworld is now.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think Mogo's going to go back there, and if it does, all the, you know, all of Sinestro's people are living there now. So if Mogo goes back to that area, gravitationally, it's going to kill everybody.
Well, I mean, he could use Parallax to move Apocalypse again, or whatever kind of happens.
I'm just saying.
Mogo's pretty far away right now.
Yeah.
So,
but that's just it. You know, it's a planet moving through space. That would have its own gravitational pull and, like, totally disrupt everything and kill people.
Yeah.
I mean that it's the center of the universe? It'll probably scribble a lot of stuff.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
So, whatever. Flash, last week.
I read that.
Yeah. I'm not a huge fan of this.
I like it quite a bit.
Yeah, I like it.
Actually.
It's not that it's horrible.
I feel like it's Spider-Verse done right. So far, really.
Well, but it does have a Scuba Steve character.
Well, yet.
Yeah.
I got the wrong one. Spider Island.
Okay.
Spider Island.
You know, it. The problem with Flash, if everybody has speed, it kind of takes away from it.
And I think it's kind of what they're, you know, going after a little bit is that, you know, maybe his role becomes diminished a little bit and transitions more to
a mentor role.
I don't think this is going to be a permanent, you know.
No, and I'm not saying it's going to be permanent necessarily either, but, I'd like to see some, and maybe because of the way the old run ended
mm-hmm.
with the Rogues, that's why they're not using the Rogues early on in Rebirth. But, you know, the first time we saw the Rogues was this issue, and they were in a bar, and just kind of, let's leave town.
For a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, that's, you know, okay, fine. When you just make the enemy have the same exact powers as a hero, that's what they're doing on the TV show, and it's like, okay.
Well, I will say this. I feel like with the Flash, I feel like with the Flash in different, you know, mediums, they rely too much on other speedsters, and I feel like that, you know, it's just too overdone. Like, at some point you have to have branch out of other, you know, antagonists. Like, now we have Godspeed in this. I have more of an issue with that, with this, you know, antagonist speedster, than I do with everyone, you know, suddenly getting these powers because of some, you know, plot
mm-hmm.
that the X-Star Labs folks are putting together. The only thing that kind of threw me off with this was, like, this Speed Force storm, like, just happened,
mm-hmm.
and already Star Labs has this facility built, which I can get why they could build the facility so quickly, because the doctor who's running it has Speed Force powers as well.
Yeah.
But you already have all these people recruited and hanging out, and
they've already been, to some extent, trained.
Yeah. That part kind of threw me off, and some of them have some pretty extraordinary abilities that even Barry doesn't have already. It's like, well, it took him some time to
learn
to handle
on
these things,
yeah.
And they've done it pretty quickly. So
now, but going back to the older version of the Flash, like, Wally's kids had completely different powers than Wally did. Even, you know, so Speed Force can cause more than just you run fast, and I get that.
But still, I think it would take some time to develop and like get a handle on them.
Yeah, no, I agree with you there. But, you know, I could see different powers developing. So maybe instead of running fast, they can do other things. Okay, cool. That's fine.
Yeah.
But I would think, you know, the harder, you know, running is something that kind of comes naturally. Mm-hmm. So, okay, fine. You don't need that much training to do that.
It was cool seeing Barry, like, help that girl out when she was having some adverse effects from the Speed Force. Seeing him in that mentor role a bit. I've been loving the art on this book.
Yeah, the art has been nice.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe bring back the, you know, like Jay Garrick and Max Mercury and those kind of characters though. You know, they were mentors prior. That maybe again, the way I'm thinking, say this for the second arc maybe. Kind of reestablish the new normal for Flash. Bring the Flash family back.
Well, I feel like this arc, though, by showing Barry kind of as a mentor, is doing a lot to show, you know, who Barry Allen really is. Even though we're seeing all these other speedsters, I think it's focusing a lot on who Barry Allen is as a person and as a hero.
Okay,
especially when you're contrasting how he does things with all these new speedsters, especially like August, is that the guy's name?
Yeah, August Hill.
Who, you know, wants to just kind of use the abilities to get things done that the law can't do.
Mm-hmm.
So I really think that it's succeeding in establishing him as who he is and what he's about in this, you know, in this universe. But we'll see where it plays out. I mean,
yeah.
I don't think it's going to drag out for a long time with the whole, you know, several speedsters, but...
Yeah, I mean, we don't need a whole city full of them.
No, and I agree. If we have that many for that long, then it does diminish his role. But as of now, I'm still, you know, very interested in what they're doing, where they're going.
No, and I mean, I'm not dropping the book. It's just this has not been one of my favorites.
Yeah, sure. Nightwing number one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Was no, it just me? Like was it, no? Was it very different art from number one? Though?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, because I was thinking, I started reading it, and I'm like, whoa. Okay. It seemed to me, like, drastically different.
Damian was also really young looking in this.
Mm-hmm.
He was.
Like, he was maybe, like, 4 feet tall. Like, it just seemed really odd, especially since I think we have to have an idea where Damian is now. You know,
cheese Vikings carry it over, though.
Yeah,
yes, exactly. Yes.
That made it over. DC's just gonna have to make that game for like their website.
Play Cheese Vikings.
But no, I thought it was good. This is showing him like trying to take down the Court of Owls from the inside.
Parliament
of Owls from the inside. House. But
like how he's
doing the gaggle of geese.
But they seem to have a bit more control over him than he would have thought they would have with his new partner. Which was the guy's name?
Raptor.
Yeah, with some weird hand thing.
Yeah, he had the hands. What was the other? I'm trying to think. There was some other character.
Talon. One of the Talons did.
Had a glove like that.
Yeah, I think the one that was the Talon that had his own series kind of had something similar.
I first thought when we saw this character, it was Italian, and they wanted you to think that.
Yeah.
With the hood and getting the gold or whatever, and I don't know. I like the character. I thought it looked kind of different, but it seems kind of odd. There's somebody stronger than, you know, better skilled in fighting than him, as well. Yeah, I mean, he's pretty good.
He's good, but I don't think I ever thought of him as like. The best.
I mean, being trained by Batman, I don't know. I almost felt like this Raptor guy was like, I could beat Batman. You know.
Well, but it's not necessarily that. You know, if you're fighting the same style, Raptor knows who he is, so he's watching.
Raptor seems to know a lot.
Yeah.
Dick Grayson was also rather arrogant.
Yeah.
When that fight started, because the whole issue the Parliament has is they want him to. Go all the way. Like, they want him to kill people on their behalf, and he refuses. He says he'll you know, work for them, he'll do their bidding, but he's going to do it his way.
Yeah.
And now this partner, Raptor, is there to kind of make sure that Grayson, you know, does things the Parliament's way.
The lethal way.
Yeah. and he seems to know everything about Dick and know how to get under Grayson's skin, which also I think is kind of throwing him off during the fight.
Mm-hmm.
It forced him to fight with emotion as opposed to with just,
you know, instinct.
Instinct, yeah.
They changed up the costume a little bit, which I didn't mind.
You always have those up and down things on the edge of the eye. That was one thing.
They added back and forth.
I thought it was more just more a domino versus those. It just threw me off in the art.
I think a while ago they made it look almost more like a bat.
Okay.
Yeah, because Red Hood has the same thing.
Mm. Yeah, they narrowed the blue, the emblem that he wears.
I didn't like that.
I didn't like that either.
No.
I like them going back to it, though. I think that was my...
Back to the blue.
I find it odd that he is going around as Nightwing, telling people, like, the Parliament is, gives their regards or something. It's just like, Nightwing just threatened me.
Yeah, that's
connected
weird.
At the Batman, and it just...
Then I'll have to go back to Red Nightwing, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, because now he's establishing...
Nobody will ever know the difference.
He's establishing Nightwing as a villain.
Yeah.
Almost, but... I mean, whatever, it's...
I really did like it, so...
Wonder Woman, number 3?
Yeah.
I read that.
So, Back to the Lies storyline.
Yeah. That's... reading it and not being real knowledgeable and into the whole Wonder Woman history, like, I'm picking out things like, okay, this just doesn't seem right. Like, the cheetah stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not a big, I'm thinking from Challenge of the Super Friends and all that. Like, I don't remember Cheetah being an Amazon.
Mm-mm.
Was she?
She was no. She was like a paleontologist.
She was
or
a scientist,
right?
And then she found that dagger, and that's what turned like the curse.
But it seems like Wonder. Wonder Woman. Knows her from the island and...
No, I think Wonder Woman knows her from when she first came to Man's World. Like, she was one of the first, like, one of the initial friends that she made.
Okay, because she needed her to guide her back to Themyscira, which is why it made me think, like, okay, she's not an Amazon, how would she know how to get there?
It depends on her origin. Maybe she, like, was able to get there at one point.
Maybe she just has, like, some superior tracking ability.
Yeah, I was thinking that as well.
Well, and that's possible, but, as I'm reading that, I shouldn't be that confused 2 issues into it. Like, well, wait a second. How would she know how to do that?
Comics, Pat. You're everything.
Yeah, I guess. But I like it. I like the art.
It's cool. They've set Cheetah up as kind of a cool character where... Like, initially, yeah, I think, she's a villain, whatever, but you almost kind of feel sympathetic for her in this, which she is a very sympathetic character if you, look at her whole backstory and whatnot, but, this was cool, and then you have Steve Trevor and his, crew
Navy
of soldiers,
SEALs.
Yeah, that end up in the clutches of this, jungle warlord.
Yeah, drug lord or something like that, yeah.
But no, I've been really enjoying this series, both halves of it. So far, it's been great. Liam Sharp's art was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Divinity 2, number 4, came out last week, so that wrapped up the second volume of Divinity. None of you guys were reading that, right?
No.
No, I don't think so. This was really good. This, wrapped up the battle between Mishka and Abram were the whole time, what?
Ooshka Mouseketeers. Sorry. From the Mickey Mouse Clubhouse.
He's aging himself.
No. This is the recent one. Mishka Mouseketeers. Sorry. Something like
you watch a lot of Disney Junior with
I despise
them. The kids?
No, not anymore. But then when my nephew was here, he was watching it and came flooding back.
You do the hot dog dance?
In a terror, yeah.
He's a big fan of Doc McStuffins. Which I gotta say, the first time I heard that, I thought it was the name of a porn. why would you let your kid watch that? And like, oh no, it's a Disney cartoon. I'm like, that's not the name of a cartoon, sorry.
Wow.
You're right.
Never.
See, once you hear it, you can't undo it.
I don't know what I was even saying now.
Something about Mishka Mouseketeer.
Oh, yeah. So, we saw the fight between Abram and Mishka. Previously, we saw them kind of going through time, where she was trying to, you know, alter the timeline, not knowing that, you know, she couldn't really make drastic changes and he wouldn't let her, you know, do things anyways. Every time she tried to do something to affect him or affect the future, it didn't work out.
The Stalinverse.
That's what we're leading into. And now, with this issue, as they're battling and they're both altering reality a bit, we're seeing, like, the environments are fighting and kind of split into where we see the reality we know and kind of a, you know, Russian version of it. So we're seeing, like, you know, the Stalin, I'm trying to think of a way to say this, Stalin-fied version of, like, Times Square, play out against the, you know, backdrop of the actual, you know, Times Square.
It's like a reverse Flashpoint.
Yeah, but it's kind of cool seeing, like, side by side like that as they're battling.
Okay.
You know, you have a, you know, subway and people on their cell phones and very, you know, Americanized version on one side, and you see a bread line, you know, on the other side and very, you know, darker.
Everything darker in black color. And
yeah.
White.
It just dimmed down a bit. And then we find out that this whole series, like, has made a big deal about this necklace that she has, and Abram's been trying to kind of appeal to her, you know, humanity a bit, and get her past the whole, you know, just being, you know, focused on the single mindset of propping back up the Soviet state to its greatness. And we find out that, you know, this necklace that she had, this one kindness that someone showed her whenever she was, you know, this homeless, you know, or from the streets, it was actually, I mean, she doesn't, you know, fully remember because it was so long ago, but it was actually him, you know, Abram, that, you know, back in time or, you know, bending reality, was the one that showed her this kindness. Whether this happened previously or somehow during their battle, if this happened to kind of, you know, alter her perception, not really sure, but it was kind of cool, you know, how it all played out and seeing how this plants the seeds for what the heck are you doing over my drink?
Oh, just drink.
Keep it together, Adam. Jeez, planting the seeds for the Stalinverse coming up, which I think starts in December, so it's not too far off. But no, this is great. I really loved the first of any miniseries, but this one was a whole lot better, surprisingly. Okay. So, yeah, it was really cool that they, the director taking it in. And I think he said he's been planning for Volume 4 of this, which, you know, he hasn't said much about where that'll go. I imagine once we see the Stalinverse stuff, it will, more information will be out about that. But no, this has been a really cool characters for Valiant, because I think these are all original characters for the modern incarnation of Valiant. And Batgirl.
Yes.
What do you guys think of Batgirl?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm. I feel like this kind of tried to bridge the, you know, tone a bit between the last series
and
the one before it, where it was still, you know, a bit lighter in tone and trended a bit younger, but it wasn't as over the top in that direction anymore.
There was no OMG texts or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
It managed to have that feel without making, you know, me feel like, yeah, this just isn't a comic for me.
Which is good, because that's what DC said they were doing with Rebirth. You know?
Yeah.
They were taking some of the information that they got of what works, what doesn't.
Mm.
So that showed it a lot in this book.
Yeah, so she is traveling the globe, and she wants to meet this woman who was... Fruit Bat, who was this... hero from years and years and years ago, I think the 30s was.
In Japan.
And interview her, and she happens to run into someone she knows from when she was a kid in Gotham.
Was in Gotham
Chicago.
Or Chicago?
Chicago,
yeah.
You're right. Kid in Chicago, who just happens to be her roommate in this hostel. And we find out that he's, you know, up to something. We don't know exactly what.
But it sounds like he had a troubled past.
Yeah, he had a troubled past, and, you know, I feel like he's there for a reason, or I feel like it's not coincidence that they ran into each other.
Yeah, I'd agree.
But no, this was a solid start. I love
Albuquerque's art on this. For that alone, I think is a reason to pick up this book. But no, it was a good story. I'm definitely hooked on where it's going to go. I'll keep buying the next issue. But yeah, if you like either of the previous two series, I would recommend checking this out because I think it has something for both sets of fans. And I think that's all I'll mention.
Okay. One particular though. 4,180.
I got that, so.
Oh, I figured, yeah.
Oh, you have. That's right, you have one. Yeah, I just forget we skipped over you.
Yeah. Suiciders. Kings of L.A. So, yeah, this starts.
It had a baby.
It had a baby on the cover. She hadn't had the baby yet. This picks up right after the last issue. And the old suicider, and I forget his name, kills Johnny, who is the brother of Trixie.
I can't remember the guy's name either. The football player.
He wears a football helmet.
But I think he was... Wasn't he a football player also before that?
He may have been. Yeah, he may have been. So, Trixie leaves and then runs home, and her mom is dead. I'm assuming of an overdose. That's what it seemed like. And
was that her mom? I thought the guy was taking her to his place.
No, that was her mom.
Was it? Okay.
Or who she was calling mom. It may not have been her mother, but who she was living with. Now she's dead too, so kind of all the people around her are dying. And her boyfriend says, stay here, I'm going to go. And she,
yeah,
of course,
and he was the Mahong Corp.
Yeah.
So you can give them the gang.
Yeah. And then we also get more backstory on the former reporter.
Oh, man, that reporter guy is creepy as hell.
Yep. But I love, he's talking to a heavy-set woman, and she wants to know how to lose weight, and he says, well, I eat people.
Yeah.
And she thinks it's a joke. Or no, what do you say? Eat more human.
It worked for me.
Yeah. And she thinks it's a joke, and it's really not a joke.
Yeah, and the, flashback of whenever he was a kid, right after the quake, and when he was trapped in the rubble, he
ate a
started eating his brother,
yeah,
or whatever, yeah. So he's like, oh, save him, save him, save him. They're like, what happened to him? Why are there pieces missing out of him?
The kid's got blood all over his face.
Yeah.
And all, yeah, it's pretty disturbing. But, no, I think this was issue 4, or was it 5?
5.
Because it's up 6. And I'm waiting for the twist in this. I know that there's got to be one.
I mean, the twist was in issue 6 last time around, so...
Right. But maybe because I'm expecting it, I was expecting it sooner.
I feel
expecting
like there's something that ties this to the first volume. Something. I'll be very disappointed if this ends as a completely self-contained story.
The only thing I'm wondering is if maybe Trixie is the woman.
That's
in
what
the
I keep thinking,
one.
But she doesn't look that much like her.
Well, because she has both her boobs still. Remember the other chick was all burnt up and had one of her boobs missing and all that? Yeah.
Yeah.
But remember she had...
turned away. wait, what?
Because she had a kid.
Yeah.
So it kind of fits.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Just
she seems so, timid in that first volume versus this volume where she seems very...
Right, but one, she's a kid, and, kids are invincible, and she's not a mother yet, so she's not trying to protect her kid. Just a thought. But I could see her growing up to be that character.
Mm-hmm. So. That the kid becomes the guy from the first.
Well, I thought about that, except for he speaks English. So
she don't know where she takes the kid after she leaves. In issue 6, she could end up raising the kid somewhere else, or she gets killed.
Well, no, because they can't get out. Remember, they were trying to escape, and they couldn't.
They were trying to escape to the U.S., but I'm saying they could end up, going somewhere else, or something else could happen. I mean, he got in the first...
Right, but that would become the question. So all her family's dead. If you've left the U.S., why go back to that?
No, I'm saying maybe they go Mexico.
I get that. Yeah. So you've left. Why would you go back to L.A. when it's in the condition it's in? That part doesn't make sense.
Oh, because, if growing up, once he grows up, he doesn't remember L.A. For him, he always just... Assuming that's what happens, which yeah. I don't think that is, but assuming that's what happens, I mean, for the kid, he would have no memories of being in L.A. It's just, he wants to be a suicider, because that was his whole intent of going there,
to be
a suicider.
Yeah.
He had the giant boxing gloves and a poster.
Yeah. You know, go back and look at the tattoos, because remember he had the tattoo and neck.
Yeah,
it looks somewhat similar to what they had before. Maybe that's what it was in, mm-hmm. In honor of his uncle or something like that. It could be. I'd have to go back and look at the earlier issues.
Yeah.
So, Red Hood and the Outlaws.
Yes, didn't read that.
So
I liked that one a lot.
I thought it was okay. A lot of it was rehashing Jason Todd's origin.
Again, the Rebirth ones are kind of designed to do that, to recenter.
Yeah. What was disappointing about it, though, was we didn't get anything with Artemis or Bizarro. No,
right.
Jason Todd's story is pretty well known.
Right, but it was kind of getting you filled in on him and then Batman's plan for him.
Yeah.
So I think, and then he's going to meet up with those two while he starts his plan. So, but yeah, no, I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, it was interesting. The dialogue between him and Bruce, I thought it was good, where, Bruce didn't trust him, and Jason's like, well, you don't tell me everything, so why should I tell you everything? You see that there's still a lot of tension between them.
Yeah.
Although, it's certainly not under the Red Hood style tension. I thought it was interesting. I want to see where they go with this.
Yeah.
There's a lot of tension between Batman and a lot of his sidekicks. Anyways.
It's because he doesn't tell them anything.
But what's interesting is about how DC writes it. Sometimes they print out a story and they're like, everybody's mad at him. And then there's no real conclusion to, okay, now everybody's good with him? Like, the last one, the time they got all mad about the whole Joker situation.
Yeah.
He kind of just, they were just like, okay, we're good. It never concluded. Like, there's no...
Because I think at some point you got to realize
he's just Batman. And,
right. Well, and that's just it. He's not going to change.
Yeah.
So you either believe in the mission or you don't.
The only thing he does kind of change now, because I think Batman, right now we're seeing a different Batman.
After Endgame, I think there was a definite shift.
Yeah. Exactly. And then once he gets his memories back, he takes on a new, and maybe that was how they tried to fix it. He actually was like, I got to do this differently. But I don't know. I don't think it was established. So, who knows?
Titans.
I read that.
So,
I didn't like the beginning when it was exactly the same as the Rebirth.
Yes.
The first few pages. To the point where I had to stop and flip, even further in the book, because I thought I bought the wrong book by accident. Because you had the damages, and I thought, oh, maybe he gave me a Rebirth by mistake. I was like, I definitely read this already. Yeah. And I realized, oh, no, the first four or five pages were just wasted as reprints of the previous issue.
Right, which in and of itself was pretty much a reprint of the 80-page Rebirth.
Yeah, it's just that I didn't care for that. I feel like I'm buying another book. Why am I getting the exact same pages as the previous one? But after that point, I like
it. He got a new costume.
Yeah.
Which...
I like the end. The end made me happy.
With Abracadabra?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that let me... Okay, I'll keep going, because I don't know why Abracadabra, but that was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I thought that was an interesting twist. But yeah, there was a lot where I'm just like, okay, move on.
Yeah.
And I didn't like Arsenal's outfit.
Glasses, hat,
tattoo. The grunge tattoo was just really weird, where he has the same tattoo that the guy from Gen 13 has. I found that very weird.
Do you think he'll get over it?
Yeah.
He'll be okay.
But I, you know, I thought it was a decent book.
Yeah.
Action.
I read Action.
I'm liking this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Doomsday fight, and then Wonder Woman shows up to help. And
the only thing I don't like is Wonder Woman seemed like she had no idea who Doomsday was.
Yeah, that
and
would
if
be
New 52 is still in continuity, we just had Doomsday.
Okay, yeah,
yeah, not too long ago.
Was Super Doom?
Yeah. She's like, "Who is this? Like, you
yeah,
seem to
right.
know."
I didn't think of that.
I'm sorry, who didn't know who
Wonder Woman didn't know who Doomsday was.
Did Doomsday look the same though in that
pretty much
arc?
Yeah.
Okay, because I mean this is classic Doomsday.
Does she remember
like
him fighting him Doomsday though when he burst and turned into the gas that he breathed in? Does she remember what he looked like?
I think so.
I don't know if she was there.
I think
but she
so.
Knew what he
but
was
even
turning
even
into.
That though that interaction wasn't Superman's first interaction with Doomsday.
Yeah, you're right because they said he existed before that.
Yeah. And even wasn't that interaction one of the reasons that led to his, you know, demise?
Yes.
Wait, what was the lead up to that?
Oh, just she's being daughter's being evil. My wife just said, "I hope it's because she's 14 and not because she's a sociopath." So
there's a test there.
Yeah,
so she's a psychologist.
We can hope. I know.
Yeah, I was going to say that's
she should be able to.
Yeah, kind of your department.
I wonder if she earned that doctorate now.
I'd watch how you rephrase that because you don't want her to take it as that she's a sociopath, so she should be able to identify her own. You'd just be clear with that. Yeah, so Wonder Woman meets Lois and
I like that.
John and
I like that when they met up and she was just like, "I'm in my where I come from, we were friends," and she's like. We still can be, or something.
Yeah.
It was just good.
We shall be now.
And then Jonathan was just like, "How about me?" And she was like, "Yeah, you do." I just like that kid as a character.
Yeah, he's good.
That's what I'm just like, and I think that's why I like Superman a little better than this book, but not by much. Like, they've both been really good.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm really wanting to read Super Sons whenever that decides to come out.
Yeah, I really. When all the announcements came out, I had zero interest in Super Sons.
Oh, I can't.
But now I'm kind of really looking forward to it.
Yes.
They can play Cheese Viking together.
Exactly. And they can go off, and John will be, "Okay, we've got to save this person."
Daniel
Grotsum.
Yeah.
They're like, "No time, Cheese Viking," you know, and the person dies.
Well, that's assuming John doesn't, like, burn him up with his laser vision first.
Yeah. Oh, today's issue I really liked. I really like today's Superman.
It's just, that is a really good book. Like, Superman has been really good. It makes me want to actually go back and read. And I think when a book does that, like Mission Accomplished, makes you go back. Now I actually want to read that Lois and Clark book when it comes out in trade.
Okay.
Just because of that.
I really like that book.
Yeah. Because I just like this character. I just think he's just...
I wish
because
he had
he's
to be
so
around
different.
Superman.
Well, I was telling Colin yesterday, he's so different from Superboy.
Mm-hmm.
That Superboy, whenever they bring out a Superboy, he's not that different from the previous Superboy. Like, he's you know, whatever. But this kid, he has a weakness. He's, you know...
Well, his power set keeps going on and
off.
Yeah,
and, you know, he's very innocent, too.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing. And tying him with Damian, of all people, like, it's just... I think it's going to be interesting.
Well, but that's just it. Both of them are sheltered, but sheltered in different ways.
Yeah. So I think they're just going to have a really good dynamic. I just really like this character.
And then 4001 was my last one.
It was good.
So.
It was a good issue. I was
surprised that they, from what we can tell, took down Father in this issue. I figured that would be a... You know, issue four kind of thing, but I mean, there's still a lot.
Yeah,
lot
I was saying.
On,
I mean, you know, New Japan's crashing, so they still got to deal with that.
Yeah,
they killed off Lemur, which I thought was wrong.
Yeah, but
he was kind of the Hodor of the group.
It was kind of a pivotal moment.
It was.
You're like, "No, I'm a Lemur. He was going to get his own book.
Oh, not his right hand. Not his left hand.
No." I have one thing that I just pointed out.
Was seen in Suicide Squad today, this one. They're brutally efficient.
Suicide Squad? Was it good?
I liked it, yeah.
One thing that I thought was just odd in this book, though, was the idea that there's a maximum security prison on New Japan. And the reason I find it odd is because Father right now is destroying sectors, like just taking out sectors because he's just like, I can't handle taking care of it. But he keeps the maximum security prison. He doesn't release it in the space. It just seems out of character. I thought
use
it was
that. Yeah, what if he needs
that's
to...
the only thing I could think of is maybe he has his reasons, but it just seemed odd that like this guy who's just like, why would he keep them, you know? And it leads to his downfall anyways. So it's just, I don't know, it seemed odd of, you know, a guy who's just like, to survive, I gotta get rid of things, but he keeps a maximum security prison. You would assume that out of his nature that he would have just got rid of them a long time ago.
Unless where it's at, it's on an area that can be jettisoned.
That's the other thing, too. So, I don't know, just not a horrible thing. It was just like, why is he keeping a maximum security prison?
Well, he may need, if he has to capture somebody, he doesn't want them dead because he needs information or something, he has to put them somewhere.
That's true. Maybe he needs them for that.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
It was good, though.
Mm-hmm.
It has been. This whole event's been really good. Do you think that, because, and I didn't get to talk about Rye last week, but is it going to be the end? Like, is Rye going to actually conclude?
I don't know. The one thing that Valiant is not great at is telling you when a book is going to end.
Yeah. Because I can't...
That's
I can't
something interesting.
I know that one, yeah. That one there...
I couldn't tell if it was concluding, it was just like to be concluded, the arc, or to be concluded. I just don't know where they're going to go with this story. Once Father's gone, like, what are they going to do? The only thing they could do is go back to Earth and try to fix it.
I would imagine that... I would imagine that Rye will probably wrap up with this. Just because this was the main focus of his story, so they'll probably take a break from that and do something else.
I got a bunch of new books coming out. So a
bunch of books coming out, and I think if they want to continue this future, setting, they could do something either with that future Eternal Warrior and the Geomancer. They could do something with War Mother, which I believe takes place in the same time period.
Yeah.
So I think they have other options if they want to continue that. But maybe they will. I don't know. I'm not sure what Matt Kent's plans are.
Yeah, I haven't heard anything. I was just curious.
I guess
that.
We could open previews.
Just yeah, because I guess it would have had something in it about that issue.
Do that now.
Okay.
So that's all I read, Kyle.
That's all you read.
And you talked about everything I read.
Oh. Well, then what's coming out next week
that's
so we can read new
read,
stuff?
Kyle?
That's all I read, those six. Sorry.
Well, we didn't talk about My Little Pony.
It's not on my list.
Friendship is magic.
Yeah.
Okay, next week.
What's coming out next week?
Sorry, I was on the wrong page after you threw him on the floor. We got A&A number 6, new start of a new arc. We got A-Force number 8, which ties into Civil War. We have The Accused, which is the classified Civil War book. Action. Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. number 8 is crossing over into Civil War. All new, all different Avengers. I love when they do this. Number 13 is a Civil War 2 crossover. And we also get all new, all different Avengers annual number 1.
Yay. Can't get enough of that.
All new X-Men. Let's continue the all new, or the all feature, All-Star Batman.
We should call it all new comics.
We got Amazing Spider-Man number 16. It has the code letters BDNM at the end, and I'm not sure exactly.
BDSM?
No, BDNM, thank you, sir. I'm not sure exactly what that...
Neomasochist?
No more being dead... Oh, what was that? What was it?
Dead no more?
Dead no more, but what's the B?
Be dead
before.
No more.
Before dead no more. There we go. Look at that. Ding, 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 ding. We won. We solved the puzzle.
Will be wrong.
Josh, I don't think your answer was quite appropriate.
It was in line with the rest of the podcast.
Okay, we got Black Monday Murders, which is the new one from Hickman. From Image. Black Panther number 5 with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 different covers. Blue Hour number 1. This is from Action Lab, and it's Chad Ciccone's book. Darth Vader 24, the penultimate issue of Darth Vader Volume 1.
Good word.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's a popular word on
it
the podcast.
It was a popular comic word, the issue before the last.
I don't think it's pent ultimate. I think it's just penultimate.
Penultimate?
There's no T in the middle.
Oh,
there.
Okay. I apologize.
It's okay.
Deathstroke Rebirth, number 1. Detective Comics. Empress, number 5. You're reading that, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Flash, number 4. Flintstones, number 2. I started number 1. I'm enjoying it.
I really like it very much.
You started it?
I didn't finish it. Sorry. I started reading it and something came up. I put it down, but one thing I love, I took home it was the Fred and Wilma cover that I really like because they're taking a selfie and he's holding the camera up and the bird's pecking away on it.
And it's a cell from the cartoon.
Right, picture is from the cartoon.
That's fun.
Yeah, that was a really
good cover. Wanted to get that cover until I saw the Dust in the Wind cover.
Okay.
And when?
I know. I prefer Dustin Nguyen.
Until I meet him, say his name, and he corrects me.
Fair enough.
I will continue with Dustin Nguyen.
Who cares what he
thinks? All we are.
Yeah. It's cooler that way. I mean,
Fair enough. Hal Jordan and the Green Lantern Corps number 2.
Oh.
New Superman number 2. It's a monthly, so sorry. But not sorry, just everybody's expecting them all to be bi-weekly, and they're not. So, like, Hellblazer's a monthly.
No, they can't all be bi-weekly.
I don't want them to be bi-weekly.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time as is.
Who's asking for this?
No, just somebody mentioned it. Ninjak 18 is next week.
Fist and Steel.
It'll be okay, Colin.
It's a team between him and Wrath of Eternal Warrior.
Just going back to what you said before when we were trying to decode.
Why'd you go BDSM?
Yes.
I don't think those are the same thing.
I know. I'm Fist and Steel.
I know what he's going to have.
Yeah, I know what he's... Yeah.
Red Hood and the Outlaws, number 1. Ringside, number 6 for Adam.
His safe word's toffee.
I have a bunch of... There's a bunch of San Diego exclusives that I'm getting. We were able to order them, and it was kind of one of those, we'll fill if there's anything left after they filled the orders at San Diego. So, just going through it real quick. Arkham Knight Harley Quinn previews exclusive statue, Batman the original series Batman logo bust, Civil War 0, 1, 2, and 3, black and white the Michael Cho poster variants, Dark Knight Returns Batman bust bank, DC Gallery Batman the original series black and white Batman figure, Deadpool 15 mini mates, Ghostbusters Marshmallow Peter. Marvel Gallery Captain. That's what it says. Marshmallow Peter.
That's crazy, Colin.
Sorry. Marvel Gallery Captain Marvel Mohawk figure, Spider Gwen Unmasked figure, Daredevil Netflix 2-pack mini mates.
Podcast makes a mess.
Vision Scarlet Witch mini mates. The Pop Swamp Thing Flocked Scented Pop.
What?
It's this one's scented.
What character?
Swamp Thing.
What is Swamp Thing keep getting more?
And Star Wars Han
like
Solo
bon
number 1. What does
bog
it smell like, though? It's a bog. Sons of Anarchy.
Call the Toxic Avenger said it.
Redwood original number 1. This is from the showrunner of the show.
But now you want
series.
It, because you're like, what does this smell
like? Spider-Man 2099-13 is a Civil War crossover. Spider-Man Deadpool 8. This one just keeps selling and selling and selling. Superwoman number 1, which is strange that she didn't get a rebirth book because I'm still not sure exactly how she
got powers.
Unless it was something spinning out of this issue, but
do we know which Lois it is?
Mm-mm.
I bet it's the one that's not the mother.
Okay. That's what I think too. And then Wonder Woman number 4.
The one that we don't really care about anymore.
Because they're going to be like, hey, what do we do with her?
Yeah. Who cares about it? So.
Where can they find you, Colin?
Well, they can find me. Just come to the store. Just come to the store.
The Pokestop.
Look for the Pokestop.
Look for the Pokestop, yes. But you can find me here. The website's PittsburghComics.com. Facebook.
Not that you upload anything to it.
Pittsburgh Comics. I try. Oh, I do. I upload the new what's coming next week in the podcast, but not things you send me to upload.
He did the thing for the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, I figured you did that.
No.
No, that was all him.
All me.
Oh, okay. Wow. I am impressed.
Twitter under PGH Comics, same with Instagram.
Another thing you don't update.
What?
Another thing you don't update. You don't do anything with your Instagram.
No, well, I will. I'm pricing books.
I need your credentials for that.
Should be the same as the others. You should be able to guess it.
One. You have two credentials. Three,
I have two
four,
passwords.
Five.
I have two passwords. Password one. No.
Iron Fist.
Oh, the special this month, because 4001 AD is coming to an end, and, well...
This is the end.
I also wanted to time it with the opening of the,
What's in the box? Time capsule.
Time capsule, yeah, on the TV show, I totally panicked. I'm like, the box thing, crap. Because that's basically a half hour straight, just talking, and I stuck on a word.
There's no cuts in it.
There are no cuts. No. So, I'm doing double points on all Valiant trades this month, just for fun. Now, we will, even though we were supposed to open the time capsule on August 31st, we will not be opening it August 31st, because I'm mean. Because, sadly, I will be out of town. Well, it's true. If you do it and I'm not here, fine, whatever. But I figured I should be here to divvy up the goodies.
You do it when you're not here, you'll be disappointed.
Yeah, but they set it for the first day of the Diamond Retailer Summit down in Baltimore. So most retailers aren't going to actually be in their stores to open it. So I'm sure they didn't really think about that when they set this event, when they started it 6 months ago or whatever. You know, planning for when it would hit. So I'm going to hold that over until Saturday, September 3rd, and we'll probably do it. I'll pick a time. I'll make it like a noon or something, just so people can be here to see what's in there.
It'd be great if we did open it up early and then we left everything in there. We got back. He was like, okay, we're opening and we're all surprised. We're like, oh!
Well, you kind of have to tear the
paper.
Yeah,
that's the only thing. That's the only thing.
Yeah,
I got it past that.
Ew. A steamer.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a challenge? Because I think we can...
I think I can make that.
You're going to put a steamer in my
mind? I can take that photo.
Oh, man.
Yeah. So, so double points on our Valiant stuff. Nothing really going on else in August. People are like, oh, when are you doing your next sale and stuff? Well, we have a big anniversary coming up, and it'll be after Labor Day.
We've been here for 100 years.
Yeah, we'll probably be doing a lot in September.
But birthday?
After Labor Day? No, it's not my birthday. So, yeah, stay tuned for stuff with going on in early September. So,
what anniversary is it?
It is the 10th anniversary of the store.
Yeah, that was close.
I opened the Tuesday after Labor Day in 2006. So,
did you think you'd be here 10 years? Honestly?
I mean, yes and no. I mean, I thought I had a pretty good plan, but trust me, opening the door that first day was... Please come in. Please, somebody come, because you don't know. I mean, no matter what market research you do, you don't know.
I'm going to take it if somebody showed up.
Yeah, the good thing was Giant Eagle had a spinner rack. I'm like, okay, so they wouldn't have something in their store if it wasn't something. Now, granted, not enough to support a store, but there was some interest. So, but yeah, no, I mean... You hoped, but you also, you know.
I haven't seen a spinner rack in a...
I know, I wanted to buy it. I'm like, and then they got rid of it. I'm like, I wanted that. So
they probably threw it in the dumpster.
Probably.
Even though that thing's worth a lot of money.
But, I certainly hope to, but, you know, it was a pipe dream. You know, it was one of those, okay,
do
it and see what happens. So, no, I'm thrilled. It scares me as I look around and go, oh, man, this is so much more. Because I think last year, I was posting pictures of right when I opened. Because I just happened to find them, and I'm like, wow. Because I always forget to take before pictures, always. Never fails.
You remember your first customer?
Yeah, and you're still here.
My first customer was a guy that worked at Century Sports, and he, because I remember as I was getting ready to open, he was asking because he bought two long boxes.
No love there anymore?
No, they're fine. It's not them. It's the owner of the thing. It's not the
complex.
Guy that runs that. Yeah.
Or maybe the jeweler.
Although I do have to say the jeweler made me a little annoyed. when we came to do the TV show, it was 9 o'clock Monday morning. You know, they're not even open. The landscapers had parked all the way in front of the store. So I park where I normally do. But Dave normally parks right in front of the door to unload his stuff. Well, he parked in front of the jeweler. And as we're getting set up, the jeweler comes over. How long are you going to be? You know, you park right in front of our store. I'm like, lighten up, Francis. You know.
There's so, plenty of spaces.
Yeah. So that was a little, I'm like, well, should I shoo away everyone, a customer that parks here and walks over there? I mean, think about
it. So at 3 o'clock in the afternoon when no one had still visited the jeweler.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why are people so territorial?
I don't know.
I understand if every parking space is taken out by you.
But it so makes me want to repave the lot so I'm nice and they have all the popple.
Do it.
It costs money, Adam.
Yeah. You got the money?
Don't do it.
So, yeah, that's about it. Not a lot going on. In August, I'm working on, I've gotten a big collection slowly coming in. He's bringing me like 4 boxes every few days. Nothing super exciting, but it's just nice stuff. And the beauty of it, one thing when I was talking about selling books to a store, one clue I will give you is put them in order. I'm much happier to open up a box and have it all in order as opposed to box after box of randomly stuff turned upside down and backwards and forwards. I don't know what's there.
Do you pay extra for that?
I don't necessarily pay extra, but I'll say I pay less if it's unorganized because I know that's going to be an extra amount of work. I remember
what about bags and boards?
Is that bags and boards helps. Like, this is all bagged and boarded, so it's nice. I just have to boom price it and out. But that's not a deal breaker. But there, I had.
No, but I mean, if someone brings in bags and boards, do you pay more knowing that you don't have to waste that yourself?
Not particularly, because a lot of times they come in bagged and boarded, but I need to rebag them because they're nasty. So it's not. I mean, it helps, but it's not. That's not a deal breaker. But like one collection came in, and it was 2 books in every bag. Mm-hmm. You know, they put 2 front and back. You know, to save space, I get it.
Yeah.
But looking at the collection, knowing I was going to have to unbag and then bag every other book, just the amount of work involved in just doing that.
How much space are they really saving at that point?
I don't know. But just the amount of work I was going to have to put into just getting that ready, even though it probably was in order and everything,
yeah,
just really took it, you know, it's like, well, okay, I normally offer this, I'm going to offer this, because it's just, oh, and it was just a pain in the butt. But some people have done that, and I got one came in very lucky, is I was going through it and I didn't realize they had done that, and I was really bummed because it was New Mutants 97 then 99. I was, oh man, that sucks. Well, when I went to go price it and everything, oh yeah, there was a 98 on the back of that 97, so that was nice. Sadly, this was before the Deadpool boom and it only sold for like 150, but that was still a nice little bonus. I mean, I didn't mean to not pay the guy for it, but I didn't know it was there. But yeah, in order is always nice, and in boxes is always nice too. Although the best stuff always comes in the tubs, you know, not the best, but it's always funny. My favorite story is a liquor box of nasty, nasty G.I. Joe and Transformers. Each one bagged, but like there was no reason to bag it. They'd been read and loved. The books had been loved dearly. And red and red and red, and they were in horrible shape. What's in the middle of the stack? X-Men 94, unbagged. Just stuck in the middle. I'm like, what are you doing? And the problem was, I didn't see that. I'm flipping through going, oh, God. You know, and didn't offer much because it was all beat up crap.
Yeah.
The presentation as ever.
Yeah, presentation is important. But yeah, no, it doesn't necessarily have to be bagged and boarded, but it certainly helps if nothing else, they're all facing the same way. That's all. But, I mean, I think that's the way it is with anything. You know, when you go to sell your house, you don't leave it trashed. You pretty it up. So.
Trash it.
No, but, I mean, some people, you know, you've seen the books that come in. You know, the lady's bringing in the garbage bag full of banging it off the sidewalk.
Yeah, she bounced it off the sidewalk.
I'm like, okay. Yeah, you're going to get top dollar for that stuff.
Or you got the people that are just like bags at least.
It was her daughter's books, and the daughter moved and didn't want them, so she was just coming to get rid of them. But it was,
Do you have change? $7 billion.
Yeah. What were we saying, Adam?
There's some people that are just set in mind of what they think they should get, and they bring it in, you give them an idea, which is practical, but they're just like, yeah, but it's old.
But it's old. It's 25 years old. Yeah, it's from the early 90s.
Yeah, or you get that. I have Superman number one.
My favorite. The other thing I get a lot of people clearing out houses and storage lockers and find stuff and assume they have, it's a windfall, and they bring it in. It's like, no. And one guy brought it in, and the entire thing was wet. He's like, oh, yeah, because it was in the back of my truck overnight or something. And it was
it was the plumbing stuff, wasn't it?
No.
You told the story about the plumbing guy that didn't get paid. His books were $2,500.
No, but this was a whole, this was boxes of books, but it was like, it was books that were just in paper boxes, you know, and stuff, and just, but it had all gotten wet. And I'm just like, it's not, it's all wet. He's like, oh, I didn't know I needed to keep them dry. I'm
like, these are I always keep my books in a bathtub.
Yeah, don't you? I just like, you know, these might have been worth something, but they're worth nothing now.
Who knew the paper got bad when it was wet?
Yeah, so yeah, presentation. Yeah, presentation is a big part of it. But, I mean, I'm not paying this guy a lot, because, I mean, it's not great stuff. A lot of it's just pre-New 52 runs of stuff. Nothing exciting, but it is certainly beneficial to me that they're on order, and it's going to take me less time to go through them. But again, you know, $3, $3, $3, $3. Yeah, exactly. And that's all I'm looking at it as. But, you know, not a lot of books. Super books in this, but yeah. As opposed to, oh God, it goes to the basement not to be seen for a while because
I don't want to deal with it
because it's, you know, just a jumbled mess. And that's it. That's all I got.
All right.
Adam?
That's podcast.
Wow. He's ready with bated breath there. We will talk to you next week. And again, if anybody wants to come down and join us, please do.
James had fun.
James had fun. Matt, I'm talking to you. Talk to you later.
Faster than a bullet, leaping buildings in a single bound. Came from out the shadows, cause that's how we get down. I'm in your town. Walk between billionaires and evil scientists. Sorcerer supreme, all the teenagers are buying this. Gamma radiation, nobody could mess with this. Hold steady with venomous symbiotes in my penmanship. Your friendly neighborhood MC back on the scene. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry, all I'm seeing is green and red and blue. I hold the shield for America, when a soldier out Siberia. Rocking any microphone that's near to ya. Clobbering it till in the coffin you sit. Agenda for extinction, bring out the horsemen of the apocalypse. Part of an evil brotherhood, acolytes that believe. Super friends who make beats and cats that MC. It's the area code to the planet that we protect. The infinity watch is now back in effect. Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 6-1 race. My movie quartz shades and my colored rings. Laser scope rifles ain't concerned with them other things. These rappers wanna talk about ice chains and fancy cars. Me, I'm trying to build mansion in Asgard. And fund the Hellfire Society. Studio is Cerebro. Mind patterns and rhyme cause I rap about what I feel though. You hear the rhythm and you're hearing the track. I'm here to take it back to days of future past in my raps. I'm the Stan Lee of the streets. Demand things when I speak like your attention and respect when I jam these in the beats. And my tape deck pops. My mixtapes still rock. They're in your system. That's what Soundwave's telling me on the block. Ricky Bobby Drift's the only ice that I rock with. And mental telepathy is the only style that I talk with. Close your eyes, you can listen up in your mind. During this song, been freestyling there the whole time.
Now, put your hands up like this. For all the vigilantes in the streets taking a risk. For all the heroes undercover, ducking, pressing the pigs. For all the villains that he's keeping on that doomsday tip. That's how we do it. Superpowered MC who can spit. That's how we do it. Superhuman on these tracks that I flip. Yeah, cause you ain't seen it quite like this.
Because
that's how we do it in the 616.
Drop the beat out. I wanna go Pietro on these cats, right? Yeah.
chest. You're rocking a vest like Cable did. I'm hungry as Wally West at a kitchen table. Nobody will save you, kid. I'm Frank with a gun. I'm Hank with his son. I'm Rob when I skip lunch eating rappers, man. So thanks for the gum. I'm Stark's wallet back before all these banks had a run. I'm Lex Luthor when I rap. I'm trying to blank out the sun. Cause all I see are friendly faces and shifty eyes. Keeping these anonymous commenters honest. Making them realize. You love to hate me on the net when I try. That's why you get no love when you're up on my block.